Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
Alright, alright, alright. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It is Friday.
Yeah.
So that means we got all of our regular Friday features coming up. We got Fly Jams Friday with DJ Luscious Hushus, and he'll play all the soulful hits and R&B, and you can get your requests in at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for your Fly Jam requests, and we'll do that later on. Also, we've got You Big Dummy. That's where we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them, and then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 after we do the recap will cast the third vote for the biggest dummy of the week. We also have Straight Outta Context, which is a regular feature here where you listen to this radio station 24/7. Keep your ears peeled, listen all the time. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. That's nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. You listen 24/7 whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it again. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. So all the regular Friday features are coming up. We are also going to be talking about some insane celebrity backstories and behavior backstories about celebrities. Some really weird little tidbits. We'll get into that as well. And then Vic Vaughn, who is actually has been off this week, is going to take some time away from his vacation after the 3 o'clock news. We've got two Vic's picks to catch up on, because normally we do it at 3:30 every Friday morning. Vic is on a musical journey right now where he is trying to educate himself on music. By listening to the entire list of the top 100 albums, according to Rolling Stone. We weren't on last week because of the holiday. So Vic is going to be joining us at 3, and we're going to do two editions of Vic's Picks so that we can catch up on what he's been listening to. So that'll be happening, and that'll happen at around 3 o'clock. And then, right after the break, it's interesting what Catherine and company were talking about, because they were talking about cyber stealing and consumer stuff. Well, that's what we got coming up. Herb Weisbaum is going to join us. He's our consumer man, and he joins us once a month to talk about how you can remain safe, how you can stay away from the scams, and he gives stories about the consumer issues that are happening right now. And again, he joins us live, so if you want to join, you can check out consumerman.com. He's the best, consumerman.com. He's here to help and answer questions of any kind, consumer-related, fraud-related, that kind of stuff. We want to help you out with your finances and staying safe with consumer issues. So you can call us. Herb's going to be joining us after the break. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's talk or text, any of your consumer questions, plus that's the number to text to with your request for Fly Jams Friday, which is coming up later on. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. You can stay connected with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcasts. Every single second of every single show is podcast. So you can go subscribe, go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Find the Nick D Show podcast, subscribe to it, and it'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. We have a ton of people who listen to us via podcast, and we appreciate that. So thank you very much. All right, so that's what's coming up here on this Friday morning. 312-981-7200 is our number. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I understand that you're going to be gone this weekend.
Yeah, I've got a weekend getaway to Michigan.
What part of Michigan?
Near Detroit. I don't know the exact place. It's my buddy's house.
Yeah.
You know, every year he does somewhat of a big party. His name's Bob, so he calls it Bob Fest.
Bob Fest.
Yeah,
okay.
Bob Fest. This is the third edition.
So it's outside of Detroit.
Yeah. But it's like in a place where we all camp out on the property and everything like that. So
it's going to be a hot one.
I know. For the first time this summer, I'm going to wear shorts.
Yeah.
And I'm not super happy about it.
It might be a little bit cooler up there.
Yeah.
I mean, less hot, because it's going to be ridiculous for the whole week.
Yeah.
I saw the temperatures. I saw Skilling's report. It's 90s for about 6 days straight.
Yeah. And we're looking at hot days up there. I think the nights are going to be pretty cool, but the days certainly will be hot.
I love Michigan.
I've only been once.
Oh, man, it's a great state.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great places up there. I dated a girl for a while who was from Grand Haven.
Yeah,
and we went up to Grand Haven a few times, and it's beautiful. I've been to Grand Rapids several times. Been to Detroit.
Have you ever been to Traverse City?
Yes,
that's gorgeous.
It's great. I went to Detroit a few times, and one time I went to I can't remember the name of the outdoor venue right outside of Detroit, because my ex brother in law lived right outside of Detroit, and we went up there to visit him, and we saw Dave at whatever the outdoor venue is. Out there, I want to call it like Knob Creek or something. It was really cool, except that there was a vicious storm that night, and I mean like dangerous, like crazy. And everybody who was out on the lawn came into the pavilion, and so Dave came out and said, "Look, we're going to wait until the storm passes to come out, because we want you guys to be safe. So everybody come in." And he told everybody to come in from the back the lawn and get in under the pavilion. And it was one of those storms. You know those storms that come in and they're just unbelievable for like 15 minutes and then they're done?
Yeah.
Then it's gone?
That was Lollapalooza 2012 for me.
Yeah. But I remember I was here. I was at the Tribune building. I was up looking out the window and it looked like the end of the world.
I took refuge in a Dunkin' Donuts.
It was not, well, yeah, I know. Everybody just it split. They've actually evacuated Lollapalooza a couple of times.
Yeah. Some more warranted than others.
Yeah.
But
you gotta play it safe. That's a lot of people out there, man. That's a lot of people. But anyway, so we were up there for the Dave Matthews show, and he ended up, you know, breaking the curfew because he couldn't start on time. And that's like Pearl Jam at Wrigley Field. They went to 1 o'clock in the morning. I went to see them one time. They went to 1 o'clock in the morning because it rained.
Yeah.
And they were like, screw that. We'll pay it, because they got to pay the fine. Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't have money.
Yeah, it's Pearl Jam.
So they just played till like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was fantastic.
Was the venue Knob Hill?
Knob Hill. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you to the 419.
It is. It was a beautiful place too. Really nice out in the middle of the woods, which made it scarier when the storm came in, because we were like surrounded by trees and stuff, and that's like where you're not supposed to be, is near a tree or under a tree during a lightning storm like that. But it was pretty scary. But Dave kicked ass that night. He was great. So, but anyway, have a fun trip, man.
Yeah.
I know you're leaving directly from here.
Yeah, I've got my sleeping bag. I've got all my clothes and everything.
Yeah, I thought maybe your girlfriend kicked you out.
Oh man, no! If that happened, I would probably just be outside on the grass.
Okay,
and then I'd have to do the boom box from Say Anything.
Oh, okay, that's good. So, we'll have a good time, and you're off on Monday because you're gone all weekend.
Yeah.
So Ben's going to be filling in.
Yes, he will.
Ben, who's produced this show many times. So there you go. So Ben will be in on Monday morning. So as I said, Vic Vaughn is off this whole week. He'll be calling in a little bit later on at 3 o'clock to give us his Vic's picks. But in the newsroom this morning is Roger Battis. Hi, Roger.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
A belated happy birthday to you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. I'm old. So there you go.
I'm older.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We got Herb Weisbaum coming up,
yep.
And he is the consumer man, and we want to get to him. And if you have any questions, consumer-related, if you're worried about scams or any of that kind of stuff, financial stuff, consumer reports, check out consumerman.com. But Herb is going to be here live after we take this break to answer any and all of your questions. And it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Money, 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 money. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. on this Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. And we are going to talk about some weird celebrity backstories and behaviors. They're weirdos anyway. And Vic Vaughn is going to join us for two segments of Vic's Picks. As he goes down his musical journey. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, you can text them or call them to us right now at 312-981-7200. It's time for our monthly visit with Herb Weisbaum. He is the Consumer Man, covering all the consumer issues. You can check out consumerman.com for more information. And let's get Herb on the line. Hiya, Herb.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you?
Doing just great, thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you.
And so tell everybody about yourself there, Herb, as we do every month.
Sure. I've been covering Consumer Beat for almost 40 years right now, believe it or not. I work at a radio station in Seattle. I write for NBCNews.com, a column every week. And I have a website, ConsumerMan.com, where I post all the stories. So it's real easy to find, since in this digital world, stories disappear after about 24 hours. So it's got an archive of all my stories. And I just like to help people save money, be smart, and especially avoid the bad guys, because there's way too many of them out there trying to rip you off.
Absolutely right. And you join us once a month to help everybody out, and you can take some phone calls and some texts, as well as talk about the latest consumer issues and stories. And again, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200.
And if you hear the doorbell ring, my nephew is coming in from Chicagoland.
Oh, is that right?
And he better have Illuminati's pizza with him. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they're very popular.
If not, Uncle Herb is going to have a little talk with him afterwards.
Well, so. Now you know, Herb, that you can get those delivered frozen to you.
I know. I've actually thought about that.
Yeah, you get them, just throw them in the oven for a little bit, and boom, you've got Illuminati's in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, Hanukkah's only like 5 months away,
for
a guy who visits every month on the award-winning radio show.
I'll keep that in mind as Hanukkah approaches, Herb. Outstanding. So what have you been up to? We're going to talk about some news stories, but what else has been going on?
Oh, just working on a lot of really, really interesting things going on. I mean, there's some scammy things and some great ways for people to save money. It's been really weird here. A couple of sunny days and then a couple of really cloudy days. I saw my first hummingbird out back in the back deck today, which is always a good sign that things are happening. So I love when those hummingbirds come around.
There you go.
And other than that, everything is just July 4th was a lot of great fireworks, but the poor dog goes crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we actually got a little doggy downers for him this year. Really, really mild dose, and he just stopped shaking, which was so nice, because it just so traumatizes the animals. Not the big ones in the park, but the kids send them off, or the people send them off in the neighborhoods.
Sure.
It just drives the dogs crazy.
So we were
able to take care of that this year, and the cat could give two hoots.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know cats from, I had a couple of cats who freaked out.
Yeah, and some do. But this guy, he just like, okay, sure, fine, fireworks, that's great.
Yeah. Well, you worry about that, and you worry about people with post-traumatic stress disorder.
You know, absolutely.
It's terrible for them and for the PTSD sufferers and for animals. And I've never been a fan of July 4th, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But
and
anyway,
people have blown themselves up, and we had fires start.
Of course.
It was just, you know, it's just forest fires, and it's just terrible. So.
It is. But anyway, and by the way, you were talking about weather. We are going to have 6 to 7 days in a row well above 90.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. So
Yeah, my nephew said it's going to be nice to come back home and cool off just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into our first story here. There's a credit card company that's actually launching some new credit cards that aim directly at millennials and Gen Z. And you wrote a piece about that. Tell us all about it.
Well, anyone who's had a college loan recently probably knows the name Sallie Mae. They're the giant student loan lender, and they're going to get into the credit card business to try to expand their business, and they're aiming these cards at current college students, recent graduates, and young adults who are already in the workplace. They have clever names, Ignite, Accelerate, and Evolve. They're all MasterCards, and they all have no annual fee, and they pay cashback rewards on every purchase. And I can go through the individual cards separately, but overall, these cards, here's what they do. They let you set, they got all the high-tech bells and whistles that young people like. So you can set customized alerts, daily, weekly, or monthly spending limits so you can stay within your budget. You can set your own alert. You can actually pause the card, which is a really cool safety feature. So the app will let you disable your credit card if you lost it or misplaced it or you left it at the restaurant and you don't want to go back right away or whatever. That's really cool. And then for the young people, they all come with cell phone protection. So if you pay your monthly cell phone bill with a card, you get up to $600 per claim in cell phone protection. And the Ignite and the Accelerate also offer bonus rewards for responsible financial habits. So all these pay cashback rewards, but you get higher levels of rewards for the first two levels of cards, Ignite and Accelerate, if you're a responsible borrower.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are there subtle differences between the three cards?
Yeah. Do we have time to go through at least some of them?
We can get through a few of them. Yeah, we got about 3.5 minutes
okay.
here.
Because I know Vic's got to, you know, do his thing. All right, so let me go through to the bottom of the hour. So the Ignite card, that's for the college students, and the goal is it's a student card to help them establish credit for the first time, plus making bonus rewards for making those payments on time. So it has a 0% introductory APR for purchases made during the first 6 months, which is great, and then after that, the interest rate will be variable, 15 to 25%, basically based on your credit worthiness when you open the account. That's about standard. You earn 1% cash back on every purchase. After you make six consecutive on-time payments, the reward jumps to 1.25%. And here's something I like. The credit limit on the Ignite card is set at $500 for the first 6 months. That's deliberate. Even if you ask for a higher credit limit, they will not give it to you, and they will not boost the credit limit without you contacting them. They don't do it automatically like some cards do because they want to make sure the kids don't get into trouble.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. The Accelerate card, that's for recent graduates. It's the only cashback card that offers a bonus rewards, that is, if you pay down your student loan. So 0% introductory on APR purchases for 12 months. The first one was 6. This is 12. Then it switches to the variable rate again. Cardholders earn 1.25% cash back on every purchase, but they get an extra 25% bonus on any cash rewards that they use to pay down a student loan. And it doesn't have to be a Sallie Mae student loan. It can be any student loan. And then the Evolve card is for those who are out in the marketplace and are a little bit more experienced with credit. And it has a novel twist. You earn 1.25% cash back for all purchases and then another 25% bonus on the top two spending categories that you make each month. So, for example, if you spend the most on gasoline groceries this month, you get 1.50% cash back on those purchases, 0% APR introductory for 12 months, followed by the variable interest rate. So they're pretty interesting. And just to give you the bottom line, I asked two big experts what they thought about this, Ted Rossman at creditcards.com and also the folks at NerdWallet. He said, and I quote, "They're decent cards. You could do a little better with other cards, but you could also do a whole lot worse. Just don't feel compelled to get one because you have a student loan with Sallie Mae. You need to shop around." And he said they don't offer as much value as some existing cashback cards, but I think when you're young and starting out, you should worry about other things and not how much cash back you're going to get. And then the folks at NerdWallet, Sarah Rathner, she's their credit card expert, said the cards have some unique features, but I wouldn't call them earth-shattering. So there's something to definitely consider, and they may be right for you if you're the student, if you're a recent graduate, or if you're in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember how I got my first credit card. It's been that long ago. But what do these people have to go through? What do these kids have to go through in order to get a card?
It's not really that hard because Sallie Mae has designed this knowing that the hoops they have to jump through, they know these are students and starting out. So when they look at these things, they've already had that factored into what they're going to do in the approval process. I think the question is, should a student have a credit card? And I think there's no problem with that. A lot of parents think that their kid should have a debit card or they want to send them money by a peer-to-peer app or a prepaid debit card or something like that. You got to remember that you don't build up any credit history if you use a debit card or you pay by check, or your parents are giving you money on a prepaid card. None of that is considered credit, so you're not starting a credit history. And one of the factors is how long you've used credit responsibly. This card will let you start building a credit history right away, and I like the fact with that first card, the Ignite card, $500 limit, 0% interest for the first 6 months. You can figure out about making your payments on time, and they won't up the limit for 6 months, so you really can't get into trouble. I think that's a really smart move on their part.
First credit card I ever had, Montgomery Ward's, Herb.
I think mine was a Texaco or something, because gasoline cards and store cards, because they charge higher interest, are a lot easier to get, which is another way a lot of young people can get their first credit card.
Yeah. Okay, great. Herb, hang on, okay, man?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's awesome. He's the consumer man. He's here to help you. Check out consumerman.com if you have any consumer questions or concerns. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. News is coming up right after this.
Go on, take the money and run.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. That means all of our Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're going to talk about some weird, crazy celebrity backstories and behaviors. And Vic Vaughn is going to call in, even though he's off this week. He's going to call in, and we're going to do two editions of Vic's Picks as he is building up his musical knowledge while listening to every single album on the Rolling Stones top 100 albums of all time. And we didn't do it. We didn't do a segment last week, so we're going to do two this week. And so after 3 o'clock, we'll talk with Vic. So that's all coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, our friend Herb Weisbaum is with us, and it's 312-981-7200. Let's get Herb back on the line. Hi, Herb.
Hello again, Nick.
All right. You mentioned this as we were talking before, but we wanted to talk about the you also wrote a piece about peer-to-peer payment.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about what that's all about.
Well, incredibly convenient and taking off, especially with millennials, names such as Zelle and Venmo and Apple Pay and Google Pay and Facebook Payments and Cash App. Really easy to send someone money from your checking account. Unfortunately, these have limited, if any, fraud protection, and scammers have figured out how to use them, and they're now designing scams to specifically target people using these peer-to-peer payment systems. According to the fraud fighters at the National Consumers League and AARP, they're getting a growing number of complaints from folks who are using these to buy things from crooks. And, it's a perfect thing for crooks. They used to like wire transfers because they're instantaneous, they're very difficult to track, and there's no going backwards. And that's basically the same thing with these peer-to-peer platforms. They're the perfect mechanism for scammers. All you do to get the money you need is a cell phone number or an email address. It's sent to you. It is gone. You can be anonymous, and it makes it really hard for the authorities to track you down. So people have to be really, really careful with these things. I spoke to one for the article, Annette. She lives in Arizona, and she wanted to get her husband a dog for his birthday, and she went online. It looked like a very professional site and everything, and the only way they accepted payment was with a peer-to-peer payment through using the app, which is, I believe, a very dead giveaway. I mean, most reputable businesses will allow you to pay with a credit card or something else. They don't limit it to a peer-to-peer system. And she made the $500 deposit, and then there was no dog, and she's out the money, and she realizes that she'll never see it again. She told me she realizes she sort of thought about it more at the time, but didn't really think about that. So it's a real warning. You know, the companies who do these made it really clear to me, and they make it really clear when you sign up for them that, these are designed to be a quick and easy way for you to give money to someone you know, and that's the key, someone you know. You know, you're at a restaurant with your friends, and you want to pay part of the restaurant bill, or you want to send some money to a family member or a friend, or you're sharing the rent with somebody, and you want to make your monthly rent payment or something like this. But that's really, really clear in the user agreement. This is only to be used for that kind of thing. You're not supposed to purchase things, and that's where people are getting in trouble, and the scammers know this, and they're setting up all kinds of things online, you know, buy this, buy that, do all kinds of things, and they're asking for only P2P payments, and that's where they're getting you.
Because I'm not familiar with these.
Yes.
This is an app that you download?
Yes, these are apps that you put into your phone, your smartphone, yes.
And then, so that's how you just pay it through that, then?
Correct, and it's using your bank account. And I talked to one person who had a really good explanation for people. The way he put this, he was with the American Bankers Association, as a matter of fact, and he basically said that consider it money. If you would not hand a $100 bill to this person you cannot see face to face, then don't use a peer-to-peer transaction. Don't give them the money, because it's irreversible. You know, if it's fraud with a credit card, you can go to the credit card company and ask them to help you out. This is like the money's gone, and you need to consider this to be a cash transaction. I asked the authorities and the people, the fraud fighters, about some tips. They gave me three basic ones, which I'll share with you and your audience.
Please.
And that is, again, don't use these apps to purchase products. And they clearly said, and they had no qualms about saying this, if the online retailer requires payment via a P2P payment system, that's the only way they'll take payment. It's probably a scam. You should consider it that and do it accordingly. You need to double and triple check the address you're sending it to, the username or phone number of the person you're trying to send the money to. This could be a legitimate transaction, but remember, if you make a mistake and send the money to the wrong person, if you get one digit of that phone number wrong or one letter in that email address wrong, you could send it to the wrong person and they don't have to give it back to you, and they may not give it back to you, and the app may not help you get it back because you sent it to that person. So you've got to be really, really careful. Don't do it when you're drunk and settling up your bar bill.
Oh, God.
I mean, unless you have it already preset, but you know, I mean, if you make a mistake, you know, you could be in trouble. And then they all suggested that you should, if you're going to use these, because it is the new wave, opt in for stronger security. Almost every one of these platforms, Nick, offers the ability to create a personal identification number, a PIN that you can lock this with, and it'll be required for any money can be transferred. You just want that extra layer of security that protects your money should your phone fall into the wrong hands, somebody steals it, you lose it or whatever. You want them to, and they see that app, they'll see a Venmo or a Zelle or whatever, they'll know, wow, money, I can start transferring money. That will keep them from doing that if they don't also have the PIN to that account. So that's a very, very important thing to do. And it's also important as more and more things we're doing on our smartphones. I mean, those are our little mobile computers. Those are our lives on there. Whenever you're offered the chance to have a PIN for that specific app or some kind of protection for that app, take it. Because if the phone falls into the wrong hands, if you lose the phone, somebody steals it, whatever, and they can get into your phone, they can use all the apps on your phone, your banking apps, and all that other kind of thing. Try to protect them as much as you can if they're offered.
And how long have these peer-to-peers been around?
A couple of years. I mean, I don't know an exact date, but they've been around for a few years. The one thing I just thought of when he asked me that is a lot of people are fooled about the fraud protection because Zelle is very widely offered by a lot of banks now. They're pushing that as part of their service package. And so that way people think they're getting the protection from the bank. And this is just a product that's being offered by the bank. They're not responsible for this. So you've got to be very, very careful with this and realize that this is something that's just being offered through the bank, and it's not the bank's product. And if you have a problem, you're going to be dealing with the app and not with the bank. So that's a really important thing. And a lot of people I spoke to who had problems got confused by that. Well, I went to my bank, and they didn't want to help me. Well, the bank really wasn't the one you were dealing with. You were dealing with the app here. And therefore, that's another step in between, which makes it a real pain if there is some sort of problem.
Have they rated these, you know, is Venmo, Zelle, Apple Pay, Google Pay, have anybody rated them on which ones are the best one that you should go with?
Yes, I did an article, which is on my site, but it was a long time ago, so I don't remember the results. Consumer Reports actually went through and rated all of them, and I can, if you want to give me a second, we'll talk about some else. I can go look on that. But the one thing that they pointed out was that some of these platforms also act as social media platforms. And what it means is that unless you accept that, unless you turn it off, all of your transactions, the whole world can see.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know people love social media, I just think that's bizarre.
Yeah.
So that means that, you know, for instance, your former girlfriend can see that you're now living with somebody else and how much money you paid for the rent that month or something
like that.
I mean, that's just total. We just share way too much.
Yeah.
And you got to turn that one off. That's a really, really scary one. When we come back from the commercial break, I will be able to find that article and tell you which ones rated the highest. But yes, Consumer Reports did take a look to see which ones they felt were better than the others.
Well, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll talk about that. And we got a few more stories to talk about with Herb Weisbaum. And again, if you have any consumer questions or concerns, 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he joins us every month. He's the Consumer Man. Make sure you check out consumerman.com. All right, quick break. We'll come back and jump right back into it with Herb Weisbaum. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning. That means all of our regular features will be coming up later on. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. You can get your requests in now. DJ Luscious Hushus will be playing them later. 312-981-7200. We're going to visit with Vic Vaughn, who's been on vacation this week, but we've got to play a little catch-up with Vic's picks and his music education as that continues. We'll do that after 3. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now, it is we're in the middle of our monthly visit with our good friend Herb Weisbaum. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Consumer Man. And if you would like to join us, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, consumer-related, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back. Herb, welcome back.
Yeah, the first person who calls in will give a Lou Malnati's pizza.
No, don't say that. You can't say that, Herb. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay. We'll just tell you how delicious it was. Okay. I searched the Consumer Man website and found the story about the peer-to-peer apps.
Yeah.
So 90 million people are using these. More than 90 million people are currently using them. That's
wow.
A lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And Consumer Reports last year, so I wrote this in August of 2018, which is why I didn't recollect which ones had won. They did five of the top ones, the first time they'd ever rated peer-to-peer apps. Apple Pay blew away the competition. They had an overall score of 76 out of 100. Consumer Reports liked its data privacy and payment authentication practices. They said that Apple Pay does a better job in that area because they appear to collect less information about you when you're using the service.
Okay.
And they're adamant that they're not selling this data to others, which we like in this day and age. Venmo scored a 69, Square Cash App 64, Facebook P2P Payments and Messenger 63. They lost points, believe it or not, for data privacy. And Zelle, which is a really popular one, only scored a 50, was downgraded for both privacy and data security. So that's the stack up on them. I did find a couple of other interesting things.
Yeah.
So Venmo is the one that has the social aspect, and unless you opt out, the public feed will show the comments and the emojis and anything else that accompanies your payments by default. The amounts won't show who you paid it to, but anyone, even non-Venmo users, can see what you paid if you split the rent or paid a lunch tab or what you did with the money.
That just seems really weird.
It's crazy.
It's
really crazy.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that whatsoever. And then I found two tips that I wrote before, which is really good, which is to keep your apps up to date, because hackers are always figuring out ways to exploit things to deal with money and financial services. So when it says it's time to update your app, it may help the usability, but it's probably designed because they found a patch for some vulnerability. So you really need to do that. And the second one is that some services, such as Venmo, offer the opportunity to get a special code to confirm that the person you're sending the money to is the person you intended to send the money to. And Consumer Reports said this is a really great idea, and any app that offers that kind of feature, you should definitely take advantage of.
Okay. Well, thanks for all that info, Herb.
That's why I put it on the website. Even I can find it.
And,
I have little pictures with the stories and everything. It makes it really easy.
There you go, consumerman.com. That's where you should check it out. Also, tell everybody about the newsletter.
Sure. If you go on, you'll get a little pop-up where you can just look at the top of the website, and it'll ask you if you want the weekly newsletter. Just give me your name and address, and I will send you once a week an email that tells you what I've written for NBCNews.com and a couple of the top consumer stories from my radio station, Como Radio in Seattle. And it's just a great way to keep up to date on what's going on, and it comes to you every week. And I don't share, so I let anybody look at my mailing list. And every time I'm on with you, Nick, I always get about 20 people sign up from Chicagoland, which is awesome.
That's great.
And it's just a way for me to stay in touch with you, and I really love that people want this.
There you go. Get the newsletter, everybody. It's consumerman.com. Get in there, sign up for the newsletter. It's free, and Herb will help you out, and you should do that right now. All right.
And I always include the podcast that you send me of this broadcast.
Ah, there you go. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the highlights of the once-a-month feature we have.
There you go. Exactly. So it's summertime, which means people are going to be traveling on vacation and all that kind of stuff. And, in fact, my producer's going away for the weekend. Tom, leaving this morning.
Hi, Tom. Have a good time, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Herb.
And, but you
go
have
to some place with air conditioning.
Yeah. So you have some, you want to help people to protect themselves while they're actually traveling around. What are some of the tips and the story that you wrote about that?
Well, obviously, if you're traveling, whether it's for business or pleasure, you're distracted because you're traveling. You're away from home. You're away from your comfort zone. And sometimes security is a little lower down on the totem pole than if you're at home. And so I just wrote a story about how you need to be careful with this. I worked with the folks at IBM's X-Force Threat Intelligence at IBM Security, and they've been looking at some of the common issues that befall people when they do travel and when they let their guard down. They did a survey, and here's what they found from the survey, that more than half of us worry that our sensitive digital information is going to get stolen when we travel, 52%. More than 70% then connect to public Wi-Fi or charge a device at a public USB station or enable auto-connect on their wireless devices, which are all considered risky behaviors. So we're afraid, but we do things that could possibly get us into trouble. And then one other thing they found that we did is that a lot of people bring their business laptops with them loaded with all kinds of sensitive corporate information when they go on vacation. If you don't need it and you're not working, don't bring it. Take your second laptop, a personal laptop, a cheap laptop. If you need to access your business stuff, do it on the cloud, but don't be bringing it could be stolen and you could be in really big trouble with your employer or whatever, and there could be all kinds of regulatory filings depending on what's on that laptop that would have to be filed if someone walked away with it. So you just do not want to do that.
Right. Yeah, this whole thing about charging your phone in public, there are scammers who somehow do something, then they can get your information.
Yes, it's called juice jacking, and it's not just theoretical. Actually, at the one of the hacker conferences they had in Las Vegas this year, DEFCON, I think it's called, they actually, one of the hackers actually set up a charging booth so people could charge their cell phones and then sucked all the information out of their phones to prove to them, see what I can do. When you charge a cell phone or a laptop, that is different than charging when you charge a cell phone or a tablet, that is different than charging a laptop. As you know, with a laptop, you plug the cord into the wall.
Yeah.
With a cell phone, for instance, you use the same cable, the same USB cable, you can do it, that plugs into the port that actually sucks the data out and also puts the juice in the phone.
Wow.
Hence the name juice jacking.
Yeah.
So there have been cases where there can be compromised free charging stations where it could be set up by a con artist, and there could be also ones that have been hacked where they just put some bad software in there. There can also be ones where they've left cords behind, so you just say, oh, that's easy, I plug my cord in and that cord and use that cord, and then the cord is somehow malicious. And what do you tend to do when you're on the phone is, I'm charging, I might as well check my email while I'm sitting here,
right.
So you unlock the phone and then give the bad guy access to all of your information. So the only safe way to charge your phone or your tablet while you're on the road is to put the brick on and then plug it into the wall. That is the safe way to charge your device when you're on the road. You just cannot trust an open public charging station, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. They're getting everywhere.
We're playing defense, and they're so far ahead of us. The other thing, of course, and we've talked about it before, but the survey showed how careless people are. As I've said before to you, the reason it's called public Wi-Fi is because it's public.
Right.
Anyone can access the network. They can eavesdrop on what's being transmitted unless you use a virtual private network. This is a piece of software that encrypts all the data leaving your device. They can get all kinds of things off your device, and they can see everything you're doing if you just connect to the public Wi-Fi at the airport or on the airplane or at the hotel or at the coffee shop or whatever. Scammers have been known to set up their own Wi-Fi hotspots and maybe have the name of the hotel with one digit off. So maybe it says, Hilton Guest instead of Hilton Honors, or maybe it says Airport Free instead of Airport or whatever. You're connecting directly to their Wi-Fi, or they can just simply have a sniffer device that just sucks up the stuff before it makes it to the real Wi-Fi connection, and they pass it along, and they're sucking up all your data. I finally, because I travel enough now, I got a VPN. I use NordVPN. It's a very highly rated service, N-O-R-D VPN. It's one of many highly rated services. They had a deal, $100 for 3 years. And every time I travel, it just goes on, and it protects everything I'm doing, and I really don't have to worry about it. And in this day and age, that's the only safe way to be doing things. The other thing is, people don't realize this. They know that the stuff coming out of your cell phone is encrypted. That's one of the great things about using a cell phone, except if you have Wi-Fi turned on. That was the other thing this report pointed out. And your Wi-Fi connects to a hotspot, and then the phone is using Wi-Fi instead of airtime, and then everything that's going out is not encrypted. Another reason why you should keep your Wi-Fi turned off if you're going to use your phone for any kind of thing personal, like financial transactions or whatever, because if you're near a Wi-Fi hotspot, you could be picked up by the Wi-Fi, and your stuff then is not encrypted.
Wow. Okay. And then what about...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. And before we get out of here, you are also let us know that a lot of the cyber crooks are targeting travel rewards. This is a thing that they're doing now.
Yeah, it's like cash money. So they can break in, they can take the miles out of your account, and they can use them. If you're a frequent flyer and have a lot of miles, you might not even know if, 20,000 miles disappear or something like that. And the only way to really protect yourself is strong and unique passwords for each one of these travel rewards accounts. Treat it like another financial account. Just don't have a really simple, My Hilton or something if you're going to Hilton Hotel. Give it a really strong password and a unique one that's not hooked up to other travel websites or other sites. And then some of these sites now allow two-factor authentication. They will just check with you to make sure it's really you, and that's a really good thing to do. And whenever you're offered this two-factor authentication, yes, it slows you down by maybe 10 seconds. But you know what? I've seen and talked to people who've been the victims of identity theft, and as you well know, it takes a lot more time on the other side than it does that 10 seconds on the front side. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, these are all good, as always, all good tips and some scary stuff out there. You also wrote a piece that we were going to talk about. We ran out of time. But if people want to read about you give some tips on bicycle shopping.
Oh yeah, it's on the website, but it's a really interesting finding. This was checkbook.org did this, and they found, you always think that everything is cheaper online, and they found that bicycles are not cheaper online in most cases. Some bikes they priced that were $1,000, the difference was $5 or less between one retailer or the other. So their advice is buy a bike if you want a bike at a good, reputable bike shop in your area. You can see all the models there in front of you. You can take a test drive, and the bike shops I spoke to said that doesn't mean a spin around the parking lot. That means take the bike and ride it. They can make sure it's properly adjusted for you and help you get the bike that's right for you. And they actually did breakdowns of bike shops in 7 different cities, and one of those was good old Chi-Town. So for the next couple of weeks, there's a free link on my story, which you'll find on consumerman.com, that you can get all the ratings from Checkbook that they found in the Chicagoland area. It's good till like the end of July, early August, but after that, you'd have to be a subscriber to get those ratings. So if you want to get them, just go to consumerman.com and look for the story, and then click on the bike, and you'll be able to get the ratings for that area. The other thing that did vary in price, Nick, by the way, and I know we're almost out of time, is the repair service. That is something where you really need to shop around because that can vary greatly from one shop to the other if you're looking for something for your bike.
Okay. All right. Herb, always a pleasure, my friend. Everybody check out consumerman.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. And we thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next month.
Always a highlight of my month, Nick. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. Consumerman.com. The news is coming up right after this. So this song is back in the consciousness because of Quentin Tarantino, of course. It's all over the trailers and commercials for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is coming out on the 26th. And, of course, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So excited.
I'm a little concerned about the length.
I can see that.
I thought Django was at least a half an hour too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't need his cameo. With his bad Australian accent.
I thought it was hilarious, but you know me. You know me. I'm a sucker for anything Quentin Tarantino does.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell was his last movie?
Hateful Eight.
Oh, Hateful Eight. Yeah, I love that one.
And that was a little remake of The Thing.
I loved Hateful Eight. I thought Hateful Eight was fantastic. I will say that.
Did you know the Music Box is not only one of the only theaters in America, but one of the only theaters in the entire world showing it in 70mm.
Yeah, they're showing it in 70mm starting on Thursday the 25th.
Got my tickets for the 4:00.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'll probably eventually see it in 70, but my dad really wants to see it, so we're gonna go. My folks and I are gonna go on the Saturday afternoon that it opens. But yeah, I hope it's good. It looks good, and you can't argue with the cast. I mean, that cast is insane. I mean, you've got, obviously your two leads are Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. You got Margot Robbie. But most importantly, you have Kurt Russell. That's the most important That's the most important cast member in the entire movie. And he's like related to the character he played in Death.
Stuntman Mike.
Stuntman Mike. He's like his brother or uncle or something. Uncle, I think.
Yeah.
Because it takes place in 69. You know, it's about the Manson. It's about the Manson murder. So it takes place in 69. And God, 50 years ago. Wow.
I mean, 50 years ago at the in August. August 9th. Was
yeah.
It?
It's yeah. Around that time. Yeah, in August. So. Well, anyway, I hope it's good. But Neil Diamond's getting a little boost right there from that. So, is that song from 1969?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
It sounds, I guess, right. But man, that seems. I mean, I can't believe that song would be 50 years old. But so anyway, Tarantino coming out with his new epic. July 26th.
Could be his last one. He's talking about
He says he's doing 10. He's retiring after 10. This is his ninth, as you can tell by that's one thing that makes me nuts about the advertising of his movies. You know, like the ninth film from Quentin Tarantino. Well, what does that mean? Like should everybody do that? Should it be like the 54th film from Woody Allen? I don't quite understand. I don't understand that at all.
I don't think he even started doing that until Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Because I think at that time, even though his movies were popular and in the public consciousness, he was still seen as this kind of like off-kilter, auteur, indie dude.
Yeah.
So they could get away with making each one of his movies a really big event. Because I think before Kill Bill, his last one, the one before that was Jackie Brown,
right.
Which was 1997.
Right.
And then
there was a long time between movies.
So yeah. I think that's why that started and it kind of stuck as a marketing ploy.
I think it's dumb.
And Brother Love's Traveling Salvation's show is in fact from 1969.
There you go.
It's from January 29th.
Wow. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio is here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up, and we're going to get a visit at 3 o'clock from our buddy Vic Vaughn, who's been on vacation this week, but he's still listening to music. He's been trying to get himself educated in the music world by listening to every single one of the albums on the top 100 Rolling records, according to Rolling Stone. And we didn't get to do a segment of Vic's picks last week, so we're going to do a couple this week to catch up on everything that he's been listening to. So that's coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and there you go. All right, so there's an article about celebrity backstories that I want to go through here that might be surprising. Some of these backstories you might not know. Many of them you might not know. Some of them are like kind of mind-blowing. So the article, it's on cracked.com, which is a really a great website. And if you're thinking cracked.com as in the Goofy magazine that was kind of a second tier ripoff of Mad, it's a completely different thing now. Cracked.com is a pretty terrific website about pop culture, and they've got really good writers, and it's a really colorful website that has really a lot of fun and interesting little topics all over the place. And it's as far removed from that dumb Cracked magazine from the 60s and 70s that was like I said a second tier ripoff of Mad magazine. That's not what it is, but they have a lot of fun articles, and this is one of them. Here's the intro. It says there's so much media devoted to revealing every detail of celebrities' lives. You'd think we'd all be completely familiar with every nuance of every famous person's past, but as it turns out, the paparazzi have been falling down on the job. So here are some backstories about celebrities that you might not have known. And, this first one, I actually did know this first one. It involves Adam Driver. Adam Driver is a terrific actor, who you could have seen if it didn't bomb and was pulled from the theaters 2 weeks ago. The Dead Don't Die, which is the latest Jim Jarmusch zombie movie. He's terrific in that. But Adam Driver, the actor who portrays Kylo Ren in the latest Star Wars trilogy, decided to join the military after the 9/11 tragedy. After 2 years in service, he survived an incident involving a cloud of white phosphorus that nearly killed everyone in the squad, which made him change his goals, return to the U.S. to become an actor. I did know this one. This one I knew. And in fact, you can actually see his the picture from when he's in the military. So after 9/11, he went into the military. And then that incident happened, and he went back to acting. Kind of scary, but Adam Driver's a good guy. I think he's a good guy, and a terrific actor. All right, how about this one? Comedic actor Steve Carell was originally going to pursue a career in law. He changed his mind while filling out the law application. He couldn't answer the question, "Why do you want to be a lawyer?" Yeah. You just can imagine Steve Carell as a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually could.
Yeah, I think I could, too.
He looks very good in a suit.
Yeah, why do you want to be a lawyer? He could not answer that. So he's like, all right, I'm just going to go to Second City.
Yeah, that seems like a fundamental question for becoming a lawyer.
I wonder if he ever improvised at Second City as a lawyer. If you ever played a character on stage as a lawyer at Second City. Yeah. So he was in the same group as Carell. I'm sorry, as Colbert.
Yeah.
They were in the same Second City here in Chicago. They were in the same Second City.
Did that include were Tina Fey and Amy Poehler here at
they
the same
were,
time with
Amy
them?
Poehler wasn't here. She's LA. Tina Fey is Chicago. Amy Poehler is actually God, why am I blanking on
Groundlings.
Groundlings in L.A.
Did she start Groundlings?
She didn't start it, no. Groundlings has been around forever. But, but Tina Fey was here. Tina Fey was here, I think she may have crossed over with Carell, but she was before Carell. At Second City, at least. We can call Kelly Leonard at some point, because he hired them all.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kelly Leonard hired an unbelievable amount of extraordinarily talented people who went on to great success.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hired Tina Fey.
Yeah.
He hired Carell and
what a guy.
And Colbert.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Although, I got to throw this out here for the sake of accuracy. Amy Poehler met Tina Fey in classes at I.O., and the two auditioned for Second City Touring Company.
Oh, so I.O. here.
Yeah. And so she was at Second City for a time, but then she went and started the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Sorry, Upright Citizens Brigade.
And that's Matt Besser, Ian Roberts,
right.
And Matt Walsh.
Right.
So I think it was a brief time.
She was here in Chicago then, yeah. They met at I.O. Okay. That makes sense. I don't think she was ever, here's what it is, Tom. She was never main stage at Second City. She did Touring Company.
Which is completely
different. That's why I guess that's why I didn't even recognize
her.
Because she was never on main stage. She did Tour Co.
Mm-hmm.
I almost went on Tour Co.
Really?
Yeah. I studied at Second City. Long time ago.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when I was studying at Second City, Farley was a main stage. Farley was on main stage.
No way.
Yeah, when I was studying there. Because it was like in 89.
Uh-huh.
Late 89. Something like that. Through 89. I studied through most of the year of 1989 and into the beginning of 90. And that was when Farley was just, you know, Tim Meadows was on main stage at that time, too.
Oh, my God. Odenkirk was on
main stage at that time. It was pretty great.
That's quality.
What was really cool was when we were studying at Second City, we could go to main stage for free. So we could just go in and see the shows. And so we did that a lot. But yeah, that's how I ended up at the Factory Theater,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the Factory Theater people were ex-Second City people who didn't make, you know, like we didn't get the gigs, we didn't get Tour Co, we didn't get main stage, or not even ETC. So they were like, screw it, we'll start our own theater company. And that's how Factory started. Factory started as people were pissed off that they didn't get hired by Second City. So they were like, screw it, we're going to open this storefront in Rogers Park. And then now it's 25 years later.
Yeah, necessity is the mother of invention.
That the Factory's been around. 1992, so it would have been 27 years now that they've been around, mm-hmm. right?
Well, 27, because I turned 26 this year, so yeah, it'd be 27.
Because 92 is when they started.
Yeah.
It's 27 years that the Factory's been around, 27 years. I was with them for about 14.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, they were the original group. You know, obviously we've gone through ensemble people, our emeritus, and all that stuff. But the original group were people who were mad that they didn't get into Second City. That's how it started.
The Factory Theater started out of spite.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Put that on a T-shirt.
There were like six people who started. I came in second wave. I wasn't one of the people that was a founder. I came in second wave, but I'm one of those people who didn't get hired by Second City. So. All right, let's take a break. We got more crazy background stories for celebrities coming up here. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in at any time. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We have a double dose of Vic's Picks coming up at 3 o'clock. And straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Want to get your requests in for Luscious Hushes? It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Okay, Tom, that was a kind of a special bump for this morning.
Yeah, I got a call from Randy in Shorewood. It's his birthday today, and he wanted to hear a little Motorhead.
Well, who doesn't want to hear Motorhead on their birthday?
I certainly do.
Yeah, Lemmy on your birthday? That makes sense to me.
God's got to tell you.
Exactly.
Birthday.
Exactly. Randy, happy birthday, man. And there you go. Okay, we've been talking about some of these crazy backstories, celebrity backstories that you might not have known. Like, for instance, the Barefoot Contessa was a nuclear policy analyst during the Ford and Carter administrations. She left her high-ranking position to build an empire on butter and wine.
What?
Yeah. Do you ever watch the Barefoot Contessa?
The only thing I've ever seen with the Barefoot Contessa was when she appeared on Seth Meyers not too long ago, where they were having a cocktail making
thing. I saw it.
Oh my God!
Well,
Seth
is hilarious.
He's
fantastic.
And she was so nice. She really went along with it and had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, people love that show. Like, they love the Barefoot Contessa.
I don't get the barefoot. Is she barefoot when she?
No.
So
I don't know where it comes from. I'm not a big fan of hers. I mean, I think her show drives me nuts. I just like the recipes make me crazy.
She Rachel Ray level annoying?
No one is more annoying than Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
No one who's ever done a cooking show is more or done a show of any kind is more annoying than Rachel Ray. Oh my God, I can't stand her.
The EVOO thing really drove me up the wall.
Oh my God.
For a while.
Sammy's. Let's make some Sammy's. Got to have your garbage bowl. Shut up. Oh.
Tell me how you really feel. Jeez.
Oh, I can't stand Rachel Ray. Oh, my God. I just, ugh. Thank you, Oprah. It's Oprah's fault that she's got, like, a regular show.
I always wondered where she came from.
Well, she came from the Food Network. You know, I mean, started out on the Food Network, and then Oprah, you know, like, loved her and had her on Oprah's show a bunch of times, and then that's how she got Rachel, like, her morning show.
Yeah.
The best part, I'll tell you what, the best thing that Rachel Ray ever did was appear on Crashing with Pete Holmes. And because he, in a couple of episodes, he played the warm-up comedian on the Rachel Ray show. And they were great. They were great episodes. So
if I remember correctly, back in the other building, didn't someone send you a subscription to her magazine?
Yes.
I thought I remembered that.
Yes, somebody did. Somebody sent me a subscription to her magazine as a joke. And then also somebody, because I'm not a fan of Bruce Springsteen, which I know is a lot of people are like, what the hell is wrong with you? I don't like Bruce Springsteen. Somebody signed me up for his newsletter online.
Oh, that's sweet.
So now I get a Bruce Springsteen newsletter every month that I immediately delete. So
the magazine run out already?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. I didn't know how. I thought maybe they'd give you a lifetime subscription.
Yeah, like I'm gonna resubscribe? You think I'm going to resubscribe?
I like the articles.
And even her recipes suck. You know what I mean? And I like to cook. I like to cook a lot. And we used to subscribe, my ex-wife and I used to subscribe to the Food Network magazine. And they had like a ton of, you know, recipes. And I've got cookbooks, a bunch of cookbooks at home. And not only is she annoying, but her recipes suck. Like there wasn't anything that you could pull out of that magazine that was any good. The articles were stupid. She was on every page and her recipes were terrible. Ugh. All right. Here's some more celebrity backstories here. Eccentric filmmaker David Lynch was a Boy Scout. Lynch achieved the rank of Eagle Scout The director even got to participate in the John F. Kennedy's presidential inauguration with his troop, where he saw Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, and Johnson drive by. Lynch recalled, "They were 10 inches from my face. It was a great, great experience." Now, for some reason, I don't find this shocking. It doesn't surprise me at all that David Lynch was a Boy Scout. That's not surprising at all. And I know because of his movies, you know how weird they are and how crazy, you know, most of them are. People are like, "That guy was a Boy Scout?" Tom, it doesn't surprise you that David Lynch was a Boy Scout, does it?
Oh, no, because he grew up in Montana.
Yeah.
And one of my most prized possessions is a book, Lynch on Lynch, where he just talks about, you know, his whole career. And he had a very idyllic childhood.
There's no question. But you can actually tell that from his movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people are like, "What?" But you could tell by his movies that he's you know, like Blue Velvet is Mr. Americana. I mean, that's
yeah. What's it called? It's Lumberton.
Yeah,
Lumberton is a total
Lumberton in Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
and Twin Peaks is that's got a very Americana feel to it too. I mean, he makes crazy stuff. He's got a very strange sensibility, but there is this wholesome, weird goodness about something underneath the surface of the craziness. There is like this wholesome Americana in all of his movies.
Yeah.
And without the weirdness, that's why Straight Story worked. Because Straight Story, G-rated movie about an elderly gentleman riding a lawnmower across the country to see his sick brother. And it was a beautiful movie. And as people were like, "How is David Lynch going to make a G-rated movie? What?" And it felt like a David Lynch movie.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the movie, you're like, David Lynch directed this movie.
And that's why Kyle MacLachlan is so often his leading man, is because, look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah.
That guy's a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Like, look, it's, you know, it's
That's
very
not
obvious.
Surprising at all. That,
no.
that little fact that we just shared about Lynch, not surprising at all. So, what was his last, Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that was, and I consider that a film.
It's an 8-hour movie. Or 12-hour. No. So, yeah, 12.
12.
12.
Yeah.
It was 12 episodes. No, it wasn't 8 because episode 8 was the greatest thing that's ever aired on television. I swear to you, man, that night, the night I watched it, I couldn't believe it. Morning, because I watched it the morning after because it was on Sunday nights. And I was just like, my jaw was on the floor.
It's masterful.
I've never seen anything like that. I immediately watched it again. I've said this before, but that episode 8 of Twin Peaks, the Return of Twin Peaks, on Showtime. I've never seen anything like that on TV, and I'll never see anything like it on TV ever again. The craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember the last movie, the last feature he made was
Inland?
Probably yeah,
Inland
Empire with Laura Dern.
Masterpiece. And she's amazing in that movie. Yeah, she was great on Twin Peaks too.
For sure.
Oh my God. All right, let's take a break. We've got more celebrity backstories that you might find surprising coming up after the news, which is after this.
She wore blue velvet, bluer than...
All right, welcome back. WGN here on 720 WGN. We were talking a little bit about David Lynch a little earlier, so... I'm surprised you didn't play the Roy Orbison song that Dean Stockwell...
In Dreams?
Sings. Yeah.
With the light bulb.
It's one of my favorite scenes in movie history.
He went for it.
You want to go with Raymond? Brad Dourif on top of the car. You want to go with Raymond?
Heineken.
Oh, yeah. You can't say that on the internet. That's fantastic. Pabst Blue Ribbon. God, Dennis Hopper in that movie. Man, oh, man. Man, did Roy Leonard hate that movie. Oh, my God, did he
hate
it.
Can't imagine.
He was sitting next to me in a jammed critics screening room. And he's like, "You liked that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He hated it so much. I took a date to see that movie. I got a bad track record with that.
Yeah.
And she but the thing is, to be fair, she liked it. Like the date I took to see Blue Velvet.
That's how you know you got a good date.
Well, that was the thing. Then a couple of years later, I took a girl on a first date to see Dead Ringers. And And the thing was, I had already seen it, so I knew the content of the movie. Right, yeah. But it was kind of like a test. Like, if this girl likes Dead Ringers, man, then she's cool. It didn't work out.
No.
Didn't work out.
She was probably like, this, who is this guy?
She just, like, I drove her home, and I'd never, she was like, that's it.
Oh, man.
Because you can't, I mean, Dead Ringers, for people who might not know what Dead Ringers is, it's a David Cronenberg movie. Two, Jeremy Irons plays twin drug-addicted gynecologists. Gynecologists, I just want to make sure that everybody knows what they do. So that's who end up making weird artistic tools to work on their quote-unquote deformed women as they get further and further into their drug-induced insanity.
Yeah.
And it is a completely inappropriate movie to take a date to,
yeah.
A first date, unless you know that the person, you know, is into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I took a girl to go see Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Well, that's
worked fine. Like a charm.
Of course it is.
Well, yeah.
Put Kat Dennings in anything and I'm there.
She's amazing.
She is. But Two Broke Girls is one of the worst TV shows in the history of television.
Yeah, I can't imagine she's is super proud of that, but got her a paycheck.
Oh, she's getting syndication money, man.
Yeah. So good for her.
Yeah. The show is terrible. I've watched it a few times. The only reason I've watched it more than once is because she's in it. That's the only reason. You know, did you ever see, do you remember that show, The Client List?
Yes.
It was,
what year was that?
It was mid-2000s. Like 2000, I don't know, 2010?
It does ring a bell, yeah.
Do you remember who's in it?
Who's in that?
It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. She plays a massage therapist.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the worst TV shows I've ever seen. I watched every single episode of it.
For Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to lie to you. I never saw the appeal.
Of Jennifer Love Hewitt? Good Lord, man. You might want to get your eyes checked out. My God. Yeah, Client List. I watched it. It was one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
She just seems to have the personality of nails on a chalkboard.
I don't think I think she's fine. But you don't find her attractive? You don't find attractive?
Yeah, she's hot. My God. Like, come on. I need substance, Nick.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I've been divorced twice. So we're talking about some crazy backstories involving celebrities. 816 area code says, Nick, I've heard a few times that Michelle Pfeiffer, when she first got to Hollywood before she landed acting jobs, was a working girl for Heidi Fleiss. Any truth to that? No way. There's no way that that's true.
Yeah, I don't think that
no
she was a prostitute.
No way. Of course not. She's Michelle Pfeiffer's.
She was a cat burglar.
Really? She was a cat woman. All right. How about this? Dog the Bounty Hunter believes he spoke to an angel. On a flight home from prison, a 25-year-old Dwayne Chapman had a conversation with a redheaded man about where his life was going. When he was told that the seat next to him had been empty and that he had been talking to himself, he determined that he must have been talking to an angel. He credits the incident with turning his life around from his criminal days. He has not spoken to any other angels since. Hey, jeez. How about this? Jim Gaffigan was a walk-on player for a Big Ten Conference football team. I'm looking at the picture. It's Purdue.
He walked on for Purdue?
He's in full-on uniform with completely blonde white hair.
You know, I can see that. I can see him back in the glory days.
Gaffigan played for the Purdue Boilermakers after walking on the team, i.e. he wasn't recruited, as an offensive guard and tackle. He later joked that he walked off the team after he realized he didn't like getting his head bashed in.
Yeah, no, I regret playing American football.
Yeah.
Several concussions. Not good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're a big guy. That's probably why you had to play.
I did. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I also played rugby,
mm-hmm.
and I never once got a concussion.
Playing rugby.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't feel that false sense of security with having a helmet on.
Yeah.
You lead with your shoulder. Where nowadays, I'm pretty sure coaches teach kids if they're playing full on tackle.
Yeah.
Like, don't lead with your head. It's not allowed, but it happens anyway. And that helmet to helmet contact is horrible. Several concussions.
How about this? Emma Stone used to work in a bakery for dogs.
Are we sure that's just not the title of her next movie?
A Bakery for
Bakery
Dogs?
Bakery for Dogs.
Well, so what did she do? She would bake, like, dog treats and stuff?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
People will do anything as a business.
A Bakery for Dogs. Wonder if anybody's ever brought that up in a interview with her. Weird Al Yankovic grew up in a very conservative home. Indulgences like sleepovers were off the table. Skipping church wasn't even a consideration. And when an issue of TV Guide featuring a picture of an actress in a bikini, his mother used a marker to cover her all up. It paid off, though, as he skipped second grade and was a high school class valedictorian, despite being 2 years younger than his classmates.
Well, he's so smart.
Well, the thing is, if you look at his, I mean, he doesn't do blue. His stuff is always clean, you know, like he's even UHF. There's nothing filthy in that or risque in that. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's got universal appeal. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Weird Al Yankovic. If you don't like Weird Al Yankovic, there's something wrong with you.
He appeals to such a childlike sense of
he's just funny. I love this guy. I love Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah. I always have. And as I've said before, I can't believe last year he got the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What? How did that not happen 30 years ago? Seriously?
It doesn't make. It's a weird. Who do we know who makes the decisions?
No, you know what? There's money involved. I know that there's money.
Right.
Like you pay.
Right.
But I don't know who, like, decide. I know there's that mayor of Hollywood dude who's, I can't remember his name, but he's there at all the ceremonies. But yeah.
I wonder if they take a poll of all the character impersonators.
I'm trying to figure out who decides, but I know how the Walk of Fame here.
Right.
Is decided. I think, is it people vote, right?
I believe
like
so.
Like people at the station vote.
Yeah. Or who knows? There could be a secret cabal.
I don't know. I have one,
led
though.
By
so
Orion
there must
Samuelson.
Be something. There must be something wrong if I have a plaque in the Walk of Fame.
He's already got the overnights. Let's throw this guy a bone.
I remember that. I got to say though, that was a really incredible day. That was really, and it's a ridiculous honor. I mean, I grew up listening to this radio station, you know, ever since I was a zygote, and. You know, to be amongst, and my, you know, I know they, you know, they're going to move the plaques, but where they have me positioned right now, they put my plaque next to Orion Samuelson. I'm surrounded by Orion Samuelson, Roy Leonard, and Bob Collins. That's where they put me.
That's where you belong, man.
It's ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, you know what? No, it is. We vote because, you know, I've been asked to vote. In previous ones, you know what I mean? You say, who do you think should be, you throw out a couple of nominations and I think they narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how it goes. But I have no idea how the Hollywood Walk of Fame works. I know it involves the person who gets the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame has to dish out some dough.
Yeah.
I did not have to pay anything.
Just in time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. So Weird Al. Conservative. I think that's pretty funny, though, that a TV guy
I could see his
shows
mom.
Up with a bikini and she's got the black marker there. I don't want you to look at that. How about this? Pope of Trash and Prince of Puke, John Waters, had very supportive parents. Although he was raised Roman Catholic, of course he was.
Nobody becomes that screwed up in the head without being Roman Catholic.
That's not a surprise at all.
No. Speaking from experience.
His parents were very accepting and understanding of their eccentric director's son, even lending him money for his earliest films. His mom was particularly supportive of his gay lifestyle in her later years. That's nice.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen them meet Divine for the first time.
Well, I would love to have seen them watch Pink Flamingos.
it's a fascinating work of art, and also, my God, will I never watch it again.
Yeah. I love John Waters.
He's a total weirdo.
I love him, and he, you know, when he annually would host the Independent Spirit Awards, he killed every year. He's also a really brilliant guy and a really funny guy. And besides The Wire, like the best thing that's happened to Baltimore is John Waters.
Have you ever seen the PSA he recorded for theaters when you were no longer allowed to smoke in theaters? Yeah. I think that is hilarious.
Yeah. I think everything he does is hilarious.
He's in, is it Jackass Part 2 that he's in? He makes a brief appearance in one of the Jackass movies.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know which one it is.
He does the disappearing trick.
Right.
And I want to say it's I think it's two.
Yeah, I think it's Jackass 2. And of course, those movies are masterpieces. The first Jackass movie is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. Ever. I told my friend Mike, a bunch of us were going to go. We had just closed Among the Dead, and all the cast members from Among the Dead and the crew were all going to go to Bruin View because the double feature was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Jackass, which is a pretty incredible double feature. So I'm trying to get my friend Mike to go, and he's like, I don't want to see that Jackass crap, you know, because it was like reality. He never watched the show, but he was like, it's a reality TV. I don't want to watch that crap. Bunch of guys acting like idiots. I'm like, I'm telling you, Mike, you got to come and see this movie. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. He's like, I don't want to go. I said, look, here's the deal. You come with us to Bruin View, okay? And if you do not like Jackass, I will pay your admission. And on top of that, I'll buy you a couple of beers during the movie. So he reluctantly went, all right, fine, I'll go. 15 minutes into the movie, he walks over to me. I was sitting behind him at one of the tables. 15 minutes into the movie, he just kind of walks over to me and whispers in my ear. He's like, this is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I told you. Yeah. That scene with Bam and the fireworks in the parents' bedroom, I'm telling you. I don't know. I really almost fell out of my seat laughing. It's so funny. All right, let's take a quick break here on WGN. We'll come back and then we'll wrap up the topic with some surprising backstories of from celebrities right here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. We're going to do what we're going to visit with Vic actually at 3:30 because he was on vacation, didn't listen to as much music as he thought he would. He had a lot of vacation stuff to do. So we're just going to do our regular 3:30 start. We just heard from Vic, and he'll be with us at 3:30 to do Vic's picks. So we're going to continue to talk about these backstories, celebrity backstories, for a little while. And we our phone lines and text lines are open if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, here are some other celebrity backstory facts here. We got some texts that have come in, and we've got phone lines and text lines open if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200. 816 area code says, Kansas City connection. John Amos had a contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Billy Bob Thornton had a tryout with the Kansas City Royals as a pitcher, which ended when he was talking to a first base coach and not paying attention, and an errant throw from third base hit him and broke his collarbone. 502 area code, the damn Hampton football story was funny. He was in a band in high school playing the sousaphone, and football coach told him, come in with him, and took him directly to the locker room, and he started playing high school football because he was bad at the sousaphone. I can't imagine Dan Hampton not playing football.
I can't imagine him playing the sousaphone.
Yeah, that's the thing. How about this? Before she was a superstar, Ariana Grande, which off the air you and I were talking about her, because her brother was on Big Brother
a few seasons
about
back.
Four seasons ago or something like that. And by the way, speaking of Big Brother, I know you're behind. For people out there who are watching Big Brother, if you agree with me on this or not, this cast of house guests are the absolute stupidest cast that has ever been on Big Brother. They are the stupidest house guests I have ever seen on the show, and I've watched every season of the show. They're the stupidest house guests I've ever seen. Don't know how to play the game, yapping, telling secrets, ratting on people. We're only 20 days in, I just, because I watched last night's episode and I was sitting on my couch going, you people, you are the dumbest people I've ever seen on this show. And it just seems to me while I was watching it, this is how stupid these people are. It seemed to me while I was watching, it was like, none of these people in the house have ever seen an episode of this show. Have no idea what the show is about, how to play the game, or how to strategize.
Well, it kind of gives credence to what Dan Feinberg was saying yesterday.
Yeah.
Where it's, they brought everybody in for Love Island and all the rejects got put on Big Brother instead.
They're the stupidest. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times I'm sat in front of the TV last night going, shut up. What are you doing to like every cast member? The only cast member that seems to know how to play the game has already been booted. It's David. He was the first one to go, but he's back in because they have this camp comeback where the people who get booted out, the first four people who get booted out, still live in the house, but they're not available. They can't vote. They can't participate in contests or any of that stuff, but they can do social game. And then once all four are evicted and go to camp comeback, they have a competition to get back in. And so one of the four will get back in. So I'm rooting for David to get back in because he's the only person in the house who seems to know how to play the game and seems pretty slick and smart about it. But everybody else in the house, the biggest morons I've ever seen on the show. Ever. I mean, I'll continue to watch it. You know, I'm not going to not watch Big Brother. I'll just sit in front of the TV and just go, what the hell is wrong with you people? Last night's episode was infuriating. As a Big Brother fan, I was like, you are the stupidest people I've ever seen play this game. Now, I don't know if, you know, I know a lot of people watch the show, and people who listen to this show know that I love it and I watch it all the time. So I don't know if you watch it and you agree with me, because I can't imagine anybody in this house being dumber. So anyway, Ariana Grande, let's get back to Ariana Grande. Before she was a superstar, Ariana Grande was known in the news as Boca Kid for getting struck by hockey pucks not once but twice. Wait a minute, what does that mean? She was at a hockey game and she got hit in the head with a puck?
I guess so.
Boca Kid, and then they have like a from a local newspaper just the headline that says Boca Kid gets puck and ice. She got hit twice with hockey pucks? That seems pretty specific. That's not good luck. Maybe Ariana Grande should not go to hockey games anymore. You know, I've been to 9 million hockey games. I've never been hit by a puck.
That's like one of my greatest fears, really, is to be baseball games, too.
Well,
is to be struck by.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be. I'll tell you something. In the old days of the NHL, they didn't have any nets up.
That's horrifying to me.
Oh, yeah, it's insane. Pucks flew into the crowd constantly. And finally, they were like, well, we have to put some nets up. So they put nets up. And
and dentists around the country were pissed.
Yeah. But, you know, and now you saw that what the hell is it called? Guaranteed Rate. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed Rate Field. They just installed it, and they've extended the netting. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a great
thing. You have to.
Yeah.
And I hated all that talk about how it was, oh, we'll pay attention to the game. You can't pay it. You're not a baseball player. You can't perceive a ball coming at you.
Yeah.
At even what's a normal exit velocity for a foul ball?
Like 112 miles an hour.
It's ridiculous.
You know, and those little cute signs with the little cub saying, watch out for fly balls as you're walking into those areas. That's not helpful. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got the news and then more mind-blowing backstories for all your favorite celebrities. And then at 3:30, all the regular features will start with Vic's Picks. News is after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. All the regular Friday features will begin at 3:30 with Vic's Picks. Vic has been working his way through the Rolling Stone top 100 albums of all time, trying to get his musical knowledge to go. And we're going to talk to him about what he's been listening to and what he's been learning about and all that cool stuff with Vic's Picks. And then after 4 o'clock, we've got You Big Dummy. That's where we read all these real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And we vote on the biggest dummy of the week. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 gets the third vote. And then we got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And also, we've got Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24-7 to this station. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to hear about it. So we want you to be a spy. So jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then things get funky when we do Fly Jams Friday. You want to get your requests in for your R&B, your soul, your Fly Jams, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about some kind of surprising and weird celebrity backstories. So if you have any of those that you know about, 312-981-7200. We've been going through some of these weird ones that are surprising. And let's do the next one. The next one here is Glenn Close was actually raised in a cult. Close's parents joined the Moral Rearmament, a right-wing religious cult, when she was 7. And she was in it up until she was 22. The actress says the experience had a profound impact on her life and that for years after, she wouldn't trust any of her instincts because all of her beliefs had been dictated to her. Wow. That's kind of crazy. Wow. All right. Very weird. How about this? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hollywood tough guy, also took ballet lessons. They have a picture of him in a ballet studio with a ballerina doing moves.
Is the picture an older?
Yeah, no, it wasn't last week, Roger. It was after he made T2. That's when he decided to do ballet.
Okay, all right.
No,
well,
he's not.
Got a long backstory.
No, yeah. The picture that they have here is black and white, and it's old, so it's probably from the 60s. Would be my guess. Jackie Chan was a very naughty boy. While being interviewed at the premiere of The Karate Kid, oh, God, I completely forgot about that movie, the remake, with the Will Smith's idiot kid.
Well, it was forgettable.
It's terrible. And he played Mr. Miyagi, Jackie Chan.
Which he did a pretty good job of, to be honest.
Come on, man. There's nothing good about that movie.
I think but I'm a sucker for literally anything Jackie Chan is in.
Yeah. He's been in some terrible movies, though, man. The two and three Rush Hour suck. The first one's okay.
I'm not even gonna
because Chris Tucker sucks. Chris Tucker's not funny. The only time Chris Tucker was good in a movie was Jackie Brown. That's the only time. Jackie Brown. Man, I'm home. I'm high. And then you know. Samuel Jackson puts him in the trunk of the car. That's the best thing he ever did. Being interviewed at the premiere of The Karate Kid, this is Jackie Chan, said that he bullied a fellow child when he was younger. Upon discovering this, Chan's father punished him by making him enroll in martial arts. Oh, that really? That's the punishment? That's how he had a career. Stan Lee, good old Stan Lee. Stan Lee worked on written manuals and training films for the U.S. Army during World War II. Charles Adams, cartoonist Charles Adams and Dr. Seuss also served in the same division. Wow. Stan Lee, Charles Adams, and Dr. Seuss. Wow, that's something right there. Background in training films, writing manuals. World War II. That's pretty impressive. Let's see. Before developing an interest in acting, LeVar Burton dreamt of becoming a Catholic priest. He got as far as enrolling at St. Pius at the Theological Seminary in Galt, California. He studied for several years before deciding that joining the clergy wasn't right for him. It was through the school's theater program that he found his passion for acting. Good old LeVar Burton. What was his name when he had the thing on his face?
Jordy LaForge.
That was his name?
Yeah. He was the bad dude. I love LeVar Burton.
He was also... Didn't he, like, do the read a book show?
Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. He did that, right?
Yeah. No, that was huge for me and my peers, reading Rainbow.
I remember him, in Roots. That's
He was Kunta Kinte.
Yeah.
No, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal actor.
I don't watch that. Which one of the Star Treks was he in?
Next Generation with Picard. And all those guys. And okay. Worf.
Yeah. But was he blind?
Yeah, he was blind. It was like a visor that helped him see. It would he could see in like heat signatures and things like that.
Oh.
It was super cool. I believe he was the navigator. Like he was Sulu for the next generation.
He's a blind navigator?
Yeah. It was great. But the visor helped him see.
Okay. All right. As long as it worked out.
It was the future, man. He could do anything.
Leighton Meester was a prison baby. What?
I didn't know they put babies in prison.
Blair was a prison baby? The Gossip Girl star was born in very unconventional circumstances. Her mother gave birth to her while serving a prison sentence for drug trafficking. What? Wow. That's crazy. So she was born in a prison. Oh, Blair. Oh. All right. How about this one? Idris Elba used to sell weed before he got his big break. Man, you know what? That's why he was so good at Stringer Bell.
There you go.
That's cause, like, personal experience.
Did a little method acting before he got the role.
Oh, look at this thing. No wonder he got cast as Stringer Bell. When Elba first came to the U.S., he had trouble finding acting work. He ended up DJing in nightclubs while also selling weed on the side. This lifestyle led to a breakup with his pregnant wife and him living in a van.
Was it down by the river?
I don't even understand what's happening right now, what I've just read. I don't know. Wow, man. Okay. That's pretty crazy. Idris Elba sold weed. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us with some weird celebrity backstories. Helen Mirren was a carnival barker. Her job was talking fast and loud to draw people to a dart stall. So Helen Mirren ran one of those dart things. At a carnival. Oh, man, I love Helen Mirren. You know, she and have signed on for Fast and Furious 9. She's going to be back.
Oh, and Furiosa, Charlize Theron, right?
Is she?
I heard that she dies at the end of the last one.
Yeah.
Never mind then.
But no, somebody else is. It was somebody else who signed up too. Somebody like big, Helen Mirren, and somebody else signed up for Fast Furious 9. That Hobbs and Nobbs. What the hell is the name of the movie? Hobbs and Nobbs.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Calvin and Hobbs.
That movie looks ridiculous, man.
I'm very ready for it.
Oh, my God.
Idris Elba as the bad guy. Love it.
I wonder if he's selling weed in it. But anyway, it's Helen Mirren, and now it's going to make me crazy. And somebody else. And I think it was somebody who's been in the Fast and Furious franchise, but a big name. And it wasn't Charlize Theron. And here's the thing about what was disappointing about the...
Well, it is Charlize Theron and Helen Mirren to reprise roles in action sequel.
I thought she died. I thought Charlize Theron died.
You know, I won't lie to you.
Oh, no, she went. She just jumped out and got away. You don't know what happened to her. You don't know what happened to her.
So there it is.
Here's the thing about that, about casting. You cast Charlize Theron in a Fast and Furious movie, and she doesn't drive a car. What the hell are you doing? You hired Furiosa. Put her in a truck. Have her drive a big truck. Have her drive a big rig. What's the matter with you? You've hired Furiosa. She was wasted in that movie.
I didn't know she was drinking.
I was... Oh, my God. So, I was very excited when I found out, because I like the Fast and Furious movies, and not all of them. I didn't like the last one very much.
It was a significant dip in quality.
Absolutely, no question about it. But there are some of them. I don't even know which ones are which. We've talked about this before. I don't know which ones are which. There's the one with that has the fight on the plane with the longest runway that's ever been in a movie ever, like the endless runway.
I want to say that's 6.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's 6 because that's when they kill off Wonder Woman or whatever her name is.
Gal Gadot, yeah. What's the one where Diesel jumps a car from one high rise to another?
That's 7. Okay. They're in like Dubai or something and they jump.
He jumps through the thing. And it's like there's an art installation or something that he smashes through the window and drives into that. Is that the same one? Because I think that might be what's the one where they're dragging the safe behind, the giant safe behind?
That's Fast 5. That's number 5.
All right, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm a little shocked that I remember. I'm a little bit shocked.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you one from the other. I know I like them. But I wasn't crazy about the last one. And I thought they completely wasted Charlize Theron. Like, when I found out she was going to be in it, and you know how I feel about Fury Road. I mean, it's Fury Road. And by the way, this weekend, it's playing at Music Box.
That's the one thing that has me a little bit upset.
That you're out of town.
And I was like, this is my chance to see it on 35.
Yeah. So, that's definitely a must-do. So, all right, let's break, and then we've got more crazy backstories that are absolutely true about celebrities. And if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold, but don't you hear me crying?
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. A little bit later on. Straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies. You Big Dummy. All coming up. And Vic's Picks, where we'll talk about what music Vic has been listening to. And that's coming up at 3:30. So, this show, it's on every night at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Impractical Jokers?
What the hell is that?
Nothing good.
I've seen one episode of it with the sound on, and I was like, this sucks. But people love this show.
Yeah, they do.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'll take Jackass over this.
I mean, there are people who look at us and are like, oh, these stooges, you know, watching Jackass for entertainment.
It's the best.
I love it. I think it's the pinnacle of dumb entertainment.
It's brilliant. And my favorite Jackass member, dumbass, died in a car crash because he was drunk.
Yeah, that was
I can't remember his name. Dunn.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn. He was hilarious. Dunn was hilarious
because they were the one where they put the toy car
because Steve-O wouldn't do it. Like Steve-O, like, yeah. Oh no, that's too far.
That guy who's been on like every drug known to man
and would do the wood. You know, he's the guy who snorted wasabi.
Yeah,
which is one of the most ridiculous. I mean, I just
he did the fish hook, which I think is graphic.
Ridiculous, the stuff that he did. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna put a toy car up my butt. So Dunn did it. That was it's hilarious. Oh, man. All right, how about this? More backstories for celebrities. Bob Ross. Everybody loves Bob Ross. So here's a nice little tree. Happy little tree. Bob Ross didn't actually like his trademark perm. He adopted the style to save money on haircuts while he was traveling the country in a motorhome teaching wet-on-wet oil painting seminars. By the time he was successful enough that he didn't have to worry about the cost, it was part of his brand, so he stuck with it for the long run. He did not like his trademark perm. Everybody loves Bob Ross's perm. How do you not love that perm? How about this? Missy Elliott was bumped up 2 grades in school because her IQ was super high. She got so lonely she decided to fail everything and get moved back. Wow. All right.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We got a caller from John. Hey, John.
How you doing?
All right. What do you got?
I hate to burst Oprah's bubble, but Maya Angelou was once a madam in a bordello. And Sam Kinison, one of my favorite comedians, was a Pentecostal preacher.
No, I knew that.
From Peoria.
Yeah.
And then if you go on, have you ever gone on YouTube, they have a clip of him doing his spiel.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's well known. He was a fire and brimstone preacher. Which explains, like, a lot of his stage persona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, completely.
One of my favorite was he's up there, and he acts like he's on the cross.
Yeah.
He goes, there's Mary Magdalene. They're crying. He goes, hey, we're people of action.
Yeah.
We don't cry. Get a bladder and a pair of pliers, and we change history.
Yeah. All right, John. Thanks, man.
Bye, Angelo.
All right, John. That was good. Have another drink. All right. Rihanna used to be an Army cadet. And Chantel used to be her drill sergeant. What? Well, that's just crazy.
What, does it mention which army Rihanna was in? I thought she, because I know she's, I want to say she's from, her family's from like Barbados or something.
I have no idea.
Well, that explains why she was in Battleship.
All I know about Rihanna is that she was in, the Shy Ronnie videos. That's for me, that's her claim to fame as far as I'm concerned, are the two Shy Ronnie digital shorts that she did. The first one, I'm telling you, the first, I almost peed myself laughing during that.
Is the first one the bank robbery?
No, that's the second one.
I love the bank robbery one.
They're both great. But yeah. Because the first one is the first one, that's why that was so funny. Do you have a favorite digital short? SNL digital short from the Lonely Island guys?
Yeah, it's Dear Sister.
Okay.
Because that was the first one that I remember. Well, no, the first one I saw was Lazy Sunday.
Oh, of course.
Because that was such a huge hit, and NBC was so stupid because they wouldn't put it on YouTube. And everybody of my generation, that was how we were starting to watch everything. Was on YouTube. Yeah. If it wasn't on YouTube, it wasn't worth watching.
Well, it ended up on YouTube and became
eventually.
It became huge.
But they took it down. They like they their strategy was so bad.
Well, you know the thing about that wasn't the first. That was the second.
That was the second.
The first one was Lettuce.
Yeah,
where it's him and Bill Hader. It's Andy Samberg and Bill Hader sitting on a stoop in front of a New York apartment eating a head of lettuce like an apple,
and
talking to each other.
Spectacular.
My favorite digital short, without question, is I Threw It on the Ground. Without question, it's my favorite. I threw it on the ground. My dad's not a phone.
Duh.
Happy birthday to the ground.
That one was really great.
And Ryan Reynolds and Frodo, tasering him.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's really
I'm an adult. that kills me. It's
I think Laser. Well, the
Laser Cat. All the Laser Cat stuff is great.
I just the any sequence where they have the cats in their hands and the sound of a gun loading.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Those the digital shorts were fantastic. They were great.
Isn't Keenan always the villain in those?
All right, how about a few more backstories here before we get to the news? Angelina Jolie aspired to become a funeral director and even took up mortuary science to prepare for it in case her Hollywood career didn't work out. That was why, because she felt so upset with the way her grandfather's funeral was handled. Okay. How about this? Ozzy Osbourne, the man who famously bit the head off of a dead bat, gets freaked out by slasher movies. That doesn't surprise me. Hunter S. Thompson, the famous gonzo journalist and complete lunatic, started his career, of all places, in the military. Predictably, he was he was discharged. His superiors noted that he had little consideration for military bearing or dress, and what seemed like he disliked the service and wanted out as soon as possible. And then this is the last one. Emily Blunt suffered from a debilitating stutter as a child. After speech and relaxation coaches didn't work, a teacher suggested she perform in the school play with a made-up accent. She was able to distance herself with the character, and so her stuttering stopped on stage and eventually ceased altogether. Well, there you go. All right. Some little-known backstory facts about some of your favorite celebrities. All right, we're going to take a quick break here for the news, and then we come back. Vic is going to be on the line, Vic Vaughn, and we are going to talk about the music he's been listening to and what he's been learning about in Vic's Picks. That's coming up right after the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Always the final scene in Dazed. With one of the greatest final shots in movie history. Just the open road. The future. Man, I love that movie. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. And it's a Friday morning and all the regular Friday features begin. They begin right now. So Vic Vaughn is our news guy. He's been on vacation this week. And he wanted to learn more about music because his musical knowledge was kind of non-existent. So he decided that he was going to challenge himself. He was going to take the Rolling Stone top 100 albums of all time list and listen to every one of the albums and learn something more about it. And let's welcome Vic. We call that Vic's Picks. Let's hear the intro.
One. Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
All right. There it is. It's Vic's Picks. Let's welcome Vic Vaughn to the show. Hi, Vic.
Whew, man. I had to take a breath. I got a little nervous there. But big intro. I haven't been on the air in like a week, and I'm all pumped up.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear
you.
How's your vacation been going?
It was awesome. Well, it's not over yet. I got a couple more days, but it was awesome. Nick, I just got back yesterday, technically, because what's today, Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday.
So I got, we spent all day Thursday driving from Tennessee and then back to Chicago last night. Got a couple hours sleep, and here I am.
All right. Well, very, very cool. We're going to be excited to have you back on Monday morning.
Yeah, it'll be nice to be back in there.
Very cool. Okay, so Vic, as I explained earlier, you wanted to, get some musical knowledge going, so you decided you'd go through the top 100 albums according to Rolling Stone, and you've been listening to all of them. Let's begin with what you've been listening to. Here we go. Did we lose Vic?
Ready?
There you go. Yeah, ready.
Number 31, Bob Dylan, Bringing It All Back Home, 1965. This album, Nick, was a lyrical feast for my ears. Plus, it's also got some of Dylan's first electric recordings, but also just the album, the music, the melodies, there's some jams on this album, there's blues. So I love this whole album. I had never listened to this album before. And as far as road trip music, and a disclaimer, I obviously don't know anything about music, but I was on a road trip when I listened to this album, and it went so perfectly with the road. I think this would be a great road trip album.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect for it.
Yeah, that sounds about right, sure.
Yep. The lead track, Subterranean Homesick Blues. Dylan said that he was influenced by Jack Kerouac, Woody Guthrie, and Chuck Berry when he wrote this song. And this song blew my mind. I don't know how he comes up with this stuff, but the lines in this song that he wrote, they just come at you wave after wave. It's absolutely packed with amazing lyrics, this song. They're jammed in there. They even feel a bit packed in there if you've heard this song, because that's how the song works.
Yeah.
I mean, the song just works. It's an amazing, it's a protest song. It's got the Vietnam War, it's got drugs, it's got the 60s counterculture. It covers all of that. At times it's like a story, and then at other times it's kind of abstract, I think, but I was really in awe
of Subterranean Homesick Blues, that track one.
Yeah, that's a great song. Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Track two, She Belongs to Me. This is, the title is kind of ironic because the woman that he wrote the song about doesn't belong to anyone. That's kind of what the song's about in the lyrics. But there's also kind of like some debate on who it's even about. But the lyrics are stunning. I thought they were gritty. They were beautiful at the same time. She Belongs to Me, is, I thought, was a really beautiful song.
All right.
Track three, Maggie's Farm. It's an electric blues song. It's right at the center of when Dylan started doing electric songs. So it's a controversial song, Maggie's Farm is. It's definitely a counterculture song as well. But as far as I thought, I thought it was a rocking song. It's rebellious. It moves fast, but it's melodic too. It's got like a kind of written, I think anyway, from the perspective of like an employee or a worker, or kind of a laborer. So it's kind of endearing in that way too. It's a great song, Maggie's Farm.
Let's hear a little bit of that one. Yeah. By the way, Vic, U2 does an unbelievable cover of that song.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's U2 does an incredible cover of it.
So. Oh, nice. Okay, I will check that out, definitely. Yeah, this album, man, I listened to it three times, and some of the albums I don't give that much time to, but the ones that I really connect with, I do, and this album, man, I can't wait to just listen to it more, because it's just one of those things in life where this is going to take more than just one listen to get it all. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Track four, Love Minus Zero. This is one of the many songs that he wrote about his first wife, Sarah, but I love this song, Love Minus Zero. I think it's got such a sweet sound to it. It's one of my new favorites by Dylan. I actually connected with this song personally because I read that he wrote it about how Sarah kind of brought this like zen-like aspect to his life, or like a calm to his chaotic world, in his words. And I sometimes think fondly of Jeannie in a similar way like that. So I really connected with this Love Minus Zero on a personal level. And there's a line in that song that killed me when I heard it. I wrote it down, and it goes, she knows there's no success like failure, and that failure's no success at all. He writes stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of like a cold hook in a lot of his lines, but
yeah,
such great writing. Yeah.
So we've got three more albums to talk about, so I want to be able to get to them. But overall, you loved Bringing It All Back Home.
I did, yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is also a pretty interesting album.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Number 30, Joni Mitchell, Blue, 1971. I had never listened to any of Joni Mitchell's albums before. Track one, All I Want, beautiful piece of music with her voice. It's lovely harmony, incredible song. This is her fourth studio album. She's Canadian singer-songwriter. She said that there's not a dishonest note in this album. So that's from Joni Mitchell on the Blue album. She said during this period in her life, you know, whenever she created all of this, that she had no, quote, personal defenses. So that's kind of what you get out of this Blue album. So it's a real honest look at whatever she was thinking or going through. That kind of sets the stage for what you can expect from this album. But track three, Little Green, it's a touching song. It's about a baby that she gave up for adoption. Track four, Carrie, it's about a man, Carrie Raddatz, says she spent some time with in Greece and Crete. Track five, album title, title track album, Blue. Track six, California. It's a song she wrote while she was living in France. James Taylor plays guitar on that track. Track seven, This Flight Tonight. It's about the regrets over a flight that, an airline flight that takes her away from a lover. A song was a this song, This Flight Tonight, was actually a big hit for a Scottish hard rock band, Nazareth. Mm. It charted in Canada, Germany, the UK. They covered it a couple of years after she wrote it. But track 8, River, it's
well,
a love
well, hold
song.
On a second. Hold on a second, Vic. Yeah. We got a little bit of what you were just talking about. Go ahead.
Lights down there, that's where we land. I saw a falling star burn up above the Las Vegas sand. It wasn't the one that you gave to me that night down south between the trailers. Not the early one that you can wish upon. Not the northern one that guided the sailors. Oh, star bright, yeah. You got the loving that
there
I
it is.
Like, all right.
Nazareth covered that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they reworked it.
Yeah.
You know, they, yeah, and turned it into a hard rock song.
Yeah.
And did really well for them.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I know. Her voice is really, you know, unique. She's, when I first heard her sing, I thought, oh, wow, she had to have influenced Jewel, don't you think? I mean, her
oh,
voice.
Oh, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another interesting track on this album, River, track 8. It's a love song slash breakup song, but the song takes place around Christmas time, and so the story of the song, so it became a pretty big Christmas song, apparently, River did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an emotional song. It's a very pretty song as well. And I know a couple of other artists did it. I read Barry Manilow did it. Sarah McLachlan did it. But, this album... by Joni Mitchell Blue. Yeah, I liked it. I had never listened to Joni Mitchell before, so very, very glad I came across it.
All right, very cool. All right, Vic, we got a break here for some weather. We'll do commercials, and we'll come back. You got a couple more albums to talk about.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Vic Vaughn, everybody, and he's on a musical journey right now, and we call it Vic's Picks. Got a couple more albums that he's been listening to, making his way through entirely the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And we'll get back to Vic's Picks after I give you some weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m., regular Friday features will begin after 4 o'clock with You Big Dummy. I will read some of the biggest dummy stories of the week, and then Tom will vote, I'll vote, and then the first person through at 312-981 will also vote for the dummy of the week. Then we have Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll get funky a little bit later on with Fly Jams Friday. Phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Right now we are talking with our good buddy Vic Vaughn, does the news for us on this show. And Vic has been doing this thing where he's been educating himself on music and decided that he was going to listen to every single album on the top 100 albums of all time list, according to Rolling Stone. And we call it Vic's Picks. Let's welcome Vic back. Vic, welcome back.
Hey, Nick. Oh, and I have just... So tomorrow I will listen to my 80th album in this little...
Wow.
Venture over the last couple months. So, but I wanted to talk about number 29 on the list. Led Zeppelin. And we're going to stop there because 28, Who's Next by The Who.
Yeah.
I listened to it. I listened to some of the songs twice, but I've listened to it, and I love it. I love it. But it's deep, and it's got a lot to it, and I want to listen to it again before I really kind of process what I thought about it. But I'm becoming a fan of The Who, rapidly becoming a fan of The Who.
Yeah.
That was my second album by The Who that I listened to. But Led Zeppelin, self-titled, number 29 on this list by Rolling Stone magazine, released in 1969. There's 9 songs on it. It's 45 minutes long. The opening track, Good Times, Bad Times, grabbed my attention right away. Jimmy Page, band's founder, lead guitar player, one of the greatest ever. He stood out right away to me in this first song, the lead guitar solo, even just to a beginner's ear, you know, that doesn't know much about Jimmy Page or Led Zeppelin. I knew right away that the guitars just sounded different, so I looked into what he did and found out, you know, he used a Fender Telecaster, and it kind of ran it through a Leslie speaker, which has baffles, and it kind of gives it that whirly sound. But it was really awesome, this track. Again, just one of the albums that I've come across so far where I just went, this was their debut album?
Yeah.
Because that's what this album just kind of just, it's just an amazing album.
In fact, they recorded it in just a matter of hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they and some of the songs that I was reading that they didn't even have a band leader. They were just going like off head nod.
Right.
Just communicating through their eyes and, you know, yeah, it's pretty amazing what they did with this album. Shows you how good they are. But and plus, like, just with this being their debut album, that this had to have blown people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of unlike anything that people had heard before. Now you know,
right.
You know, they basically many of the songs on here are sort of recycled from old blues songs,
but,
you know, from a lot of the old African American blues guys, and but they added. I mean, the sound, the kind of sound that Page created specifically, it didn't sound anything like the blues guys did. So they took American blues and they gave it a very hard edge to it.
Yeah. Here's a track that wasn't the blues one. Track two, Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You. This was written by a girl who was a student at the time at the University of California, Berkeley. She was also a folk singer, but she's not in the music industry anymore. I mean, this was a song she wrote, and Led Zeppelin kind of adapted it and recorded it for this debut album. But it's a long one. Led Zeppelin's version is newly 7 minutes long, but some beautiful guitar in track two, Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Track three, You Shook Me, very cool song. It's blues rock, like you were saying. It's slow. It's a methodical sound with John Bonham's drums. His drums are actually, you know, like a big part of this song, as opposed to just something that keeps the song moving along or in the background. But You Shook Me, yeah, the drums are awesome in this song, if you like drums, track three.
Vic, the thing about John Bonham is that he was, in my opinion, the best rock drummer that has ever lived.
Really? I can see that.
Without question, he was the best rock drummer that ever lived.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right next to one of the greatest guitar players who's ever lived, and that's why you have Led Zeppelin, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that's a cool song for drums. That the drums were great. And Jimmy Page's guitar leads in this song is, especially for me, was just one of those ones where if I close my eyes, it could just take you to another place where the song, his lead ends and you're like, open your eyes and you just kind of come out of this trance. It was amazing. Some of his lead guitar on that track three, You Shook Me.
Yeah.
You Shook Me, that's also more than 6 minutes long, that one. Track four, Dazed and Confused, 6.5 minutes long. So you get some really good music going. I'm starting to really like these songs that are longer, you know, where they develop.
Well, you know, Vic, you should listen to, because when they play Dazed and Confused live, it's 22 minutes long.
Oh, yes. I got to find that.
That was like, that was one of the centerpieces of their show. Jimmy Page would pull out a violin bow.
Yeah.
During his solo, his solo was like 6 minutes long. During his solo, he would play his guitar with a violin bow. That was kind of his trademark.
Ah, that's crazy. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when he, as far as on this album, because it's only, like I said, so I think it's just over 7 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's 6.5 minutes long. But Jimmy Page starts shredding the guitar around the end of the song, because like if it's a 6.5 minute song, so probably somewhere around less than 3 minutes left, maybe in that 2.5 minute mark, he just goes off, and so does Bonham on the drums.
Yeah.
It's incredible. That track is incredible.
And I
do remember reading that that this is just one of the ones that they always played. You know, it became one of their most popular songs.
Oh, it's one of their Dazed and Confused is one of their trademark songs.
I was driving on the way to Tennessee, and Jeannie changed that track in the middle of the song, and I looked at her and said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, it was just dragging on." So, yeah, it was such a good song. Track five, Your Time Is Going to Come. That one started weird. It started like with a church organ or something like you would expect if you're walking into a Sunday morning service or something. But once the song really gets going, it's so nice. I think Jimmy Page might be playing an acoustic guitar in this one,
yeah.
Because it's just like, yeah, it's like a beautiful riff in the background throughout the song. I thought that was a really nice touch, and just really, really love the guitar in the background on that track. Your Time's Gonna Come. Black Mountainside.
Yeah.
One thing was kind of cool. The end of track 5 blends into the beginning of track 6, which I haven't really found too many albums that have done that so far. Maybe none. I don't recall hearing that. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a club and the DJ, blends it in, but it does that on this album between track 5 and 6. But that's another song where Jimmy Page's guitar is just like hypnotic. Track 6, Black Mountainside.
Right.
But I guess if we're winding down, I know you gotta hit the news. But I do want to talk about the. I want to say that who's next for the next time
okay.
we talk? Because that's. You know, who's next? I guess is that where would you rank that in as far as the best albums of the Who, in your opinion?
I would rank it maybe 3rd or 4th.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, I love the album cover. It's one of my favorite album covers, like ever.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got Baba O'Reilly on it, which is, of course, you know.
One of their
signature songs that gets played. But yeah, I mean, I like Quadrophenia the most. That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Okay.
So
I'll get to that one. This is my second one. Baba O'Reilly. I'd never heard that song. That is an amazing song.
You've never heard Baba. You've never heard Baba O'Reilly. He's heard it.
I didn't know. I had to. What? No. Well, I'm sure I've heard it, but I've never listened to it. You know what
wow.
I mean?
Okay.
The name doesn't even sound familiar to me, so I know.
A lot of people miscall it "Teenage Wasteland" because that's in the chorus, but it's called Baba O'Reilly. So okay. All right, Vic. We got to run. We got to hit the news.
All right, guys.
I'm looking forward to seeing you back on Monday, buddy.
Yep, I'll be back Monday. See you guys soon.
Okay, take care. There's Vic Vaughn on his musical journey. Called Vic's Picks. All right, we got a break here for the news, which is coming up right after this.
Dummy. You big dummy.
You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Friday morning, we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. And the regular Friday features have begun with You Big Dummy. This is where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 gets the third vote. Yeah. So let's get started. Dummy number one. Officials in Dixon, Illinois, said they arrested a woman after finding two children inside of a pool that was strapped to the roof of a vehicle. Jennifer Janus Yeager, 49, of Dixon, Illinois, was arrested. Police say that Yeager is facing 2 counts of endangering the health or life of a child, 2 counts of reckless conduct. She was also cited for failure to secure a passenger of the age of 8 and under the age of 16. Police said that there was a complaint about the car driving down Peoria Avenue Bridge with children inside of a pool on top of the vehicle. When officers reached the area, they found a vehicle matching the description on Illinois Route 2. The vehicle had blue inflatable pool on the roof with a teen and a child inside. Officers said they stopped the vehicle and learned that Yeager drove into town to inflate the pool at a friend's home and had her 2 daughters ride inside the empty pool to hold it down as they drove back home. Yeager was taken to the Dixon Police Department, where she was processed and released for after posting bond. Oh, I see what's going on here. Hold on.
And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number two, dummy number two, two.
The Florida mother who recorded her young daughter licking a tongue depressor and then returning it to a jar at a dentist's office was arrested today on felony tampering charges. Corey Ward, 30, was busted in connection with a video she posted to her Snapchat account. The clip was then copied and posted on Facebook, where it went viral and drew attention of law enforcement. The video opens with a close-up of a sign reading, "Please do not touch medical supplies." Ward then records her 10-year-old child taking a tongue depressor from the jar, licking it, and returning it to the container. The Snapchat post included the caption, "Don't tell me how to live my life." Ward recorded her child in an exam room at the All About Kids and Families Medical Center in Jacksonville. She, upon learning of the video, center officials said they disposed of medical supplies in the room, which they then sanitized. In a TV interview this week, Ward, who was not identified in the broadcast, said, "I had just been waiting a long time, and I was just being silly with my kids." She added, "I feel like it wasn't even real. If I go back and exchange it, I would." Charged with tampering with consumer product without regard for possible death or bodily injury, she was booked in the county jail in advance of court appearance the next morning. And by the way, thanks to that, this has become a thing now. Like, people are licking things and putting them back. Real intelligent.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy. But if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three.
Three. A corrections officer used a burrito to smuggle narcotics into a Colorado prison, according to investigators who have charged the suspect with multiple felonies. Acting on information from three inmates who reported that drugs were being brought into the Buena Vista Correctional Facility by a specific employee, officials last week confronted Trevor Martineau, 27, who began working at the State Department of Corrections last August. During questioning, Martineau reportedly confessed to having narcotics in his lunchbox. Upon opening the box, an investigator discovered a large burrito inside with a plastic baggie sticking out of one end. According to a probable cause affidavit, the baggie contained several items wrapped in plastic, including 91 grams of methamphetamine, 26 grams of heroin, marijuana wax, and 46 strips of Subixone, which is used to treat opioid dependency. The bag has also contained six thumb drives. Martineau told an investigator that he was paid $1,000 for picking up the narcotics. The affidavit does not identify who paid Martineau or to whom the contraband was to be delivered. Martineau, who was fired after his arrest, has been charged with multiple felony accounts in connection with the alleged smuggling scheme. He was locked up in the county jail and scheduled for a July 17th court hearing.
Here's something for you right here. Warning, dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four.
Four! If Moana and marijuana sound the same to you, you're not alone. I saw this. This is hilarious. A Georgia woman is going viral after posting about a hilarious birthday cake mix-up. Kensley Taylor Davis said that her mom ordered a cake from the local baker for her upcoming 25th birthday party. Her mother told the baker how much Kensley loved Disney's Moana and wanted a cake themed around that character. When her mother went to pick up the cake, she found a marijuana-themed birthday surprise. So my mama called and ordered me a cake telling them how much I loved Moana because I really do, Kensley wrote on Facebook. Well, needless to say, the people thought we said marijuana. The baker reportedly misheard the mother and decorated Kensley's cakes with cannabis leaf and a My Little Pony character that appeared to be stoned and smoking a joint. To complete the look, the pony also appeared to have red eyes and a pot leaf tattoo on its side. By the way, the picture of the cake is online. You really should see it because it's unbelievably hilarious. Unbelievably hilarious. We weren't mad about it or anything. We thought it was funny and we just ate it anyway. Kensley told Fox 35. Kensley said it was the best cake ever. That ice cream cake is still really good, though.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
All right. Let's break here for weather. We got one more dummy to read about, and then we shall do the recap and vote. And then after that, we got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then the Fly Jams begin. But we're going to finish up with the dummy stuff right after we break here for some weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Regular Friday features have begun, and we're doing
You Big Dummy!
Dummy number five, dummy number five, dummy number five. The desire to have a selfie as a souvenir from running with the bulls in Spain turned into a near-death experience an American lawyer says he'll never forget. A charging bull ran over and gored San Francisco resident Jaime Alvarez in the neck during the first run of this year's San Ferrum Festival in Pamplona. An event immortalized by writer Ernest Hemingway nearly a century ago. The joy and excitement of being in the bull ring quickly turned into scare and a real fear for my life, Alvarez, 46, said Monday at a regional hospital where he was recovering from surgery. Doctors told Alvarez the bull's horn went deep into his neck and fractured part of his cheekbone. That it didn't hit the jugular vein and major arteries was described by the injured patient as beyond miraculous. Alvarez, who works as a public defender at Santa Clara County, California, said he realized how severely he'd been hurt during his encounter with bull Sunday morning when he touched his neck and his hand came away covered with blood. In the course of a few seconds, a million thoughts came to my mind, and that was dying was definitely one of them. Once it appeared certain that he would live, the run-in brought rebukes from Alvarez's wife and daughter. The three stopped to check out the famous festival, which was en route to another city where their couple's son was playing in a soccer tournament. While his daughter and wife cautioned him against joining the crowd that would race the bulls, Alvarez said the energy in the streets on the festival's opening day was too strong to resist. The running of the bulls and the 9 days of seamless partying that accompanies the festival draws about 1 million spectators to the city of 200,000 every year. Many foreigners imagine following in the footsteps of Hemingway, who channeled his experience in the 1926 novel The Sun Also Rises. Hundreds of runners of varying degrees of fitness and hours of sleep race ahead or next to the bulls charging through the cobblestone and barricaded street course. It dates back to 1910, and 16 deaths have occurred at the event. Alvarez said he ran most of the 913-yard course ahead of the bulls, but by the time they entered the bullfighting plaza at the end, the pack of animals caught up with him. Someone grabbed Alvarez by the arm and pushed through the crowds to get the paramedics, possibly saving his life. His surgery on Sunday took 2.5 hours, but Alvarez said he's in stable condition, which means he could be discharged on Tuesday. He had promised himself that he would enjoy the festival as a spectator, but not a bull racer. And I think we all learn not to take selfies when you're running with the bulls.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
All right, we got a vote now. So these some real dummies this week. Let me go through the recap here, and then the first person through will be our third vote at 312-981-7200. So here we go. We got the dummy who put two children inside of a pool on the roof of a car. We got the dummy who videotaped her daughter licking a tongue depressor and sticking it back into a container. We got the dummy who smuggled narcotics into a prison using a burrito. We got the dummy who baked a marijuana cake instead of a Moana cake. We got the dummy who was gored while trying to take a selfie at the running of the Bulls. All righty then. Let's see. Tom, are you ready to vote? Tom, you're voting. So which dummy do you pick?
I got to go with the marijuana cake.
Yeah.
Because it's just, the thing is that it's an easy mistake to make, but I guess just the time and care that this guy put into making this marijuana-themed cake.
Yeah.
That for some reason had to include My Little Pony.
Yeah.
That's the real kick in the keister.
Well, that's, having seen the cake itself, it's just hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. The narcotics being smuggled into a burrito, but having the plastic bag sticking out of the burrito?
So dumb.
I don't even understand that.
So dumb.
And then the selfie thing is just ridiculous. You know, we have had stories before of people getting hurt while trying to take selfies, you know, falling into the water, being attacked by an animal. And this guy is in the running with the Bulls, and he decides he's going to take a selfie. But I got to agree with you. It's the bakery that made the marijuana cake instead of a Moana cake. So if you want to take a look at this cake, because it's really funny, it's online. We'll get one vote here from David. David, who are you voting for?
Well, I have to go with the marijuana cake, because I can't say bull running, because you guys are already voting for the cake.
All right. Thanks, David. There you go. So that was unanimous. The dummy of the week is the dummy who made the marijuana cake instead of the Moana cake. Lots of dummies in the world.
God help us all.
That's why we do that segment every Friday morning, and we will do You Big Dummy again next week. All right. We can get a couple in before the news here for this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. Oh,
Out of context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight
out of context.
There it is, right there. Every Friday morning, we do Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and hilarious, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Tom, are we ready?
We are very ready.
All right.
All right, here's our first one. Coming to us from Kevin H. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
I love it. I'm down there every morning.
Huh. Oh, that's good.
Every morning.
That is good. Okay.
Next up, here's Luke in Albany Park. He caught David Jennings saying this.
Slight chance you might see a little morning wetness.
As soon as he said it, that was during my show.
Yep,
as soon
yep.
as he said it, I was like, that's going to end up on the show on Friday. All right.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fox Valley Mike sent in this one. Of course, it's the queen of Straight Out of Context, Wendy Snyder.
More bang for your buck on that
one? You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck.
Wow. Both of them.
Yeah. A little twofer there.
A little twofer there. You got not only Wendy, but you got a little Bill going there. By the way, you know our wonderful listener, Deanna?
Mm-hmm.
Who is also awesome and generous and really, really cool.
Always.
She made, because she makes things, as you know. She sends us stuff that she makes and, you know. She made a blue ribbon for Wendy saying first prize in Straight Out of Context. And send it to Wendy. I don't know if Wendy's response, I'm not sure, you know, whether she got it or not, but she made that from scratch, and it was like the blue ribbon of Straight Out of Context.
Oh, Deanna.
For Wendy Snyder.
You absolute mad woman.
She's the best.
Love it.
She's the best. Okay, what's next?
All right, next up, this one's coming to us from Night Owl. This is John Williams.
I think going he up needs online. To put his head between his legs, lean over a little bit.
That's Bertrand.
I should say Bertrand on the John Williams show.
That was Bertrand.
Yeah,
Bertrand is a Bertrand. Filthy, 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 filthy man.
Takes people on these trips.
Yeah. Good Lord. Okay, let's do one more before we break.
One more here. This is actually John Williams.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on here, and this is coming to us from Mark D.
What are you going to do? Get it out and play with it?
Oh, jeez.
Ooh. I believe that's... Is that a felony?
I don't know.
Felony.
Well, sure. Middays. Right around this time, it's fine. But middays, no.
You can get out and play with it overnight.
Can't get away with that kind of stuff. All right. We got more Straight Out of Context coming up. And then, of course, we got Nick D Show Spies. And then DJ Luscious Hushus is going to show up and get funky. And if you've got requests for funky music and fly jams, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay. We'll break here. And then the news is up right after this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb.
Out of context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features have begun. And we're in the middle of Straight Out of Context. We'll do Nick D's Show Spies after that. And then, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in now. DJ Luscious Hushus will be here. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, Tom, let's get back to it.
All right, back into it. Here's Steve Bertrand, caught by Jesse.
Thank you very much, Wendy, for that probing.
Doing some experiments, it seems.
Oh, creative editing there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Coming from Brian J. This is Bill.
You can only lick that from November 1st through the end of the year.
What? 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 Oh, boy.
I like that one. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Very good job.
Okay.
All right. Mike H. caught Rokan saying this.
Yeah, I got all kinds of sausages.
He says he's the sausage king of Chicago.
By the way, it's funny. I just want to mention this. We were talking yesterday. You had your first encounter with Sergeant Slaughter at a bar.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, there's a guy in Chicago who drives around in a truck and sells dried meats and sausages and pepperonis and cheese.
And the horseradish.
And horseradish and mustard and all kinds of stuff. And he does this thing where he goes to a neighborhood bar. He'll just walk in. He's wearing a white coat like he is a butcher. He walks in, sets up a plate, cuts off a bunch of sausage or like pepperoni or salami, things like that with meat and sauces and hot sauce and stuff. And then he'll just say, go ahead, eat. And then everybody in the bar walks up. They eat a bunch of meat. They eat a bunch of pepperoni and stuff. And then he'll come by, give you a menu. And you check out the menu and then go up and order. And he'll go out to his truck and get it for you. And, but you've never – that was the first time you've ever encountered him.
Yeah, it was incredible. And now – well, the thing that saddens me is that you'll never – like I'll never know when he's coming.
Yeah.
You know? So I really – it's one of those things where it's like if you don't buy now, you might – because it's great meat.
It's fantastic. I can't tell you the amount of money I've spent, you know, when I was drinking, man, in a bar. Because, I mean, he would go to all the bars. I mean, I can't tell you how many times he went to Ricochet's. He used to come to Ricochet's. He used to come to Simon's. I mean, you know, like a lot of the bars that I used to drink at, suddenly he would show up. Mm-hmm. And it was always a treat. Like, you'd see the truck pull up, and we're like, oh, it's Sergeant Slaughter.
Here we go.
And everybody's all excited. He comes in. He does his thing. Doesn't say anything to anybody. Cuts up a whole bunch of stuff. Leaves it on the plate. And then says, go ahead and eat. And then we walk up and eat. Gives you a menu, and then you order. And I spent a lot of money ordering stuff from that guy.
Well, you got to stimulate the local meat industry.
He's a regular, man. He's a regular. He goes up and down, going to all the bars and doing that thing. It's and I was saying he's like the tamale guy.
Yeah.
Except the tamale. I mean, the tamale guy is like a regular. He's a regular, you know, person who just shows up at bars after bars after bars. And comes in, tamale, and he walks in. He's got a cooler filled with tamales. You give him $5, you get tamales.
Yeah.
So
we get the JB Alberto's guy, all the pizzas that they cooked but didn't sell. They go. They come to the Oasis in Rogers Park.
Yeah.
It's like $10 for like a pretty decent sized pizza. It's awesome.
Yeah, God, the Oasis. Oh my God,
a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I've been there late at night. All right, we back to Straight Out of the Contest.
Back to it. All right, again, the queen of Straight Out of Contest, the blue ribbon winner.
Yes,
as I've just found out.
Yeah,
Wendy caught by Ken in Hillside.
And have them pour some of that water back in, or your balls will dry out. Dry out. Or your balls will dry out.
We need that as a button.
Oh, man. Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Okay. Next up, good old Uncle Dean got caught by Brian J.
Tell you the truth, it actually looks like somebody already ate it.
Oh, man. So you worked with Dean.
I did.
He's filthy.
He is. He really loves innuendo.
Yes, he
does. Which was always a pleasure on Sunday mornings because I'd be sitting in the producer booth laughing my head off.
Yeah.
Because him and Schwanny and Andy are just a bunch of cut-ups.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Speaking of, Mr. Dave Schwann, and I don't know, this might take the cake for this week. This is Dave Schwann caught by, let's see, Tim, listener Tim.
It is so big. I mean, the pictures, you know, make it look huge. Well, it is.
Mrs. Schwann must be thrilled.
I love Schwanny.
He's incredible.
He's a great dude.
A consummate professional.
Yeah, and a great, and a really, really nice guy. Like a really, really nice guy. And then on Sunday night and Sunday mornings, he always brings in pastries and
brings
stuff.
And Roger, too.
Yeah.
Roger's always good with the pastries.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
If you're ever hungry, that's who you want in the newsroom. All right. Here's Dave Plyer, caught by Eric O.
As long as you don't blow something.
That's true. That's very true. That's my motto. Okay.
Very confusing one here from Fox Valley Mike. Here's David Jennings.
Let me shine a light on that. I've shown the light on your lug right. nut.
That was on my show again.
Yep.
brother. Okay.
And then, of course, let's cap it off here with Wendy, caught by Brian.
I'm easy. I really am.
Wow.
Well done, Jimmy Mac.
She did deserve that blue ribbon. There's no mistake.
No,
I mean, she seriously, I don't know if she's ever, well, I think there maybe have been just one or two weeks where she wasn't a participant in Straight Out of Context. But
it is rare, to say the least.
Exactly. All right. Is that it?
That'll do it.
All right, here we go. Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody spies. Like hey. Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody spies. Spies. Like us. Alrighty then. There it is. This is Nick D Show Spies. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody mentions me in any capacity, we want to hear about it. You're a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. What do we got?
All right. So pretty short one here. First one's coming to us from Celine. This is mentioned on the Steve Cochran Show.
Betsy writes on Facebook, Steve, what's the funniest joke you know by heart? I got to tell you something. And John DeCosta and I have talked about this. And Mike Toomey maybe is one of the fun. Well, not maybe. He is one of the funniest stand-ups in the country. None of us remember jokes. And really, I'm telling you, amongst professional comedians, you don't remember jokes. You just don't. I hear them. I enjoy them, some of them. But I don't. I literally could not tell you a single joke I remember right now. I mean, I can tell you stuff from my act, but I'm telling you stuff that I can tell you stuff from Mike and John's act. But no, I don't have anything. You got a joke? Anybody got a joke they want to tell?
My dad was so good at this. He could remember jokes. He'd read those Ole and Lena books,
sure.
You know, that Orion has. And he had all the editions, yeah. And he would grab a joke, and every week he'd have a new one for us. It was awesome. But he'd remember them. I can't remember.
Yeah,
any.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Kind of like Nick's dad.
Yes. Yes, Nick's dad tells a joke.
And he had a really good one yesterday, and I already forgot it.
Yeah. No, but you know what? You know, that's absolutely true. Steve is absolutely right about that. I've talked to stand-ups before, and they don't, like, they don't do jokes. They do their material, you know. So they write their own stuff, but like, you know, like a joke, like, hey, a guy walks into a bar. They're like, I don't know any of that, but it's a weird thing, but it's true.
Don Rickles didn't even memorize his own material.
Oh my God,
he just went.
He was just the best, man. Don Rickles was just a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Killed every time he was on The Tonight Show. Every time. You know who else killed every single time? Not one appearance that didn't kill? Rodney Dangerfield. You go back to YouTube and you watch every single appearance that he made on The Tonight Show. Unbelievably on fire. Like, never not killed when he went on The Tonight Show. He would do like a few minutes, you know, he would do like, you know, like 3-4 minutes stand up, and then he'd go to the couch, and basically he's still doing more material. It's just like he's just sitting. Instead of like doing 6 minutes of, you know, 6 minutes of material and standing in the middle of the stage, he just goes to the couch, still on fire. Just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It was funny because, you know, I'm showing Caddyshack on Wednesday night outside of the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant there at Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont. It'll start at dusk, get to your Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant beforehand, have some dinner, 15% off all your food. They'll charge you $10 for the admission on your bill to see Caddyshack, and then we're going to watch Caddyshack Under the Stars. I was watching a documentary on Caddyshack just sort of in prep for the screening, and everybody was telling stories that this was Rodney's first movie. And like after a few takes, he was like, oh man, I'll tell you, I'm bombing. This is terrible. I'm bombing. Nobody's laughing. And they're like, we're making a movie. You can't laugh. You'll ruin the take. He didn't understand that. He just was like, he wasn't getting laughs, and he was like all nervous. So, all right, how many more do we got?
Just one more quick one.
Okay, let's do it.
Quick mention here on the Steve Cochran Show, coming to us from Brian J.
He's a nice man, too. I met him a few times.
Did you?
Yeah. He didn't yell at me or anything. He's a nice guy. And he was in a Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he the casino? He wasn't the casino.
No, he was one of the people in heaven that was doing the judgment. Yes. I think it was Albert Brooks' attorney. He was representing him.
He was in Dodgeball, too.
That's right.
Yeah, Nick played a clip this morning of that.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That's right. Good old Rip Torn. Yes, he was his attorney, by the way. And then he didn't show up one day and Buck Henry was... Buck Henry's in the room. Quiet man, very good. Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. There you go. Nick D Show Spies. We'll do it again next week. Keep your ears peeled whenever I'm mentioned. You should write all the information down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Let's break for the weather. We got some commercials, and when we come back, we'll go straight into getting funky. Fly Jams Friday. So if you want to get in on it, 312-981-7200.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly Jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right, man. Welcome back, everybody. Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200. This is when we kick off your weekend with some funky music, R&B, soul, anything that's fly. We got DJ Luscious Hushes. I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky. We got DJ Roger Badass in the newsroom this morning. And is DJ Luscious Hushes here?
Oh yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom. All right, we got some requests lined up.
Oh yeah, first right. One coming to us from Paul in Maryland. It's the Spinners.
Tell. Like the sun that shines on a rainy day, it's a cloud of love, one of a kind, love affair is, when you're down is up, and your up is down, but love stays around, and when you know you're right, but
but you got to make a little sacrifice. You make it for love.
Spinners, man. Spinners are pretty much the definition of fly. You can't get much more fly. You can't get flyer than the spinners. There's fly, there's flyer, and there's flyest. And they fall under flyest. That is a great song. They have so many great songs. Spinners have so many great songs. Fly Jams Friday. All right, what do we got next there, Luscious Hushes?
Next up, it's a little bit of the King of Pop. This is coming to us from Mike in Louisville. Here is Michael Jackson with The Way You Make Me Feel. Michael Jackson. All right. Yeah. What's next? All right. Next up, this is actually a pretty rare piece of wax. This is coming to us from Dino. It's Deborah Hurd. I guess it's kind of hard to find, but managed to find it here. It's called Hug Me, Squeeze Me. That song. I definitely remember that song. Yeah. It's got quite the vibe, man. Quite the vibe.
By the way, Dean gave Stuber a C-. And they just showed a clip from Crawl, but they didn't screen it for the critics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was no grade.
Although I know they didn't screen it for the critics, but I guess a friend of mine managed to see it at a regular Thursday night opening.
Yeah.
He gave it a fairly positive review.
Listen, it's Alexander Aja.
Yeah.
Or Aja. However it's pronounced.
Kaja Gugu.
I can't wait to see it. I also really love the fact that this alligator story in Chicago broke out 3 days before this movie opens.
It's awesome. I wonder if it's going to affect the box office.
Chicago, exactly. It might. In Chicago, it absolutely might boost the box office of it.
I'm going to need Eric Childress on Monday to report on whether or not he thinks it made a difference.
Yeah. Because I really think locally people are going to go, oh, there's an alligator movie out in theaters that's
crazy.
Brand new, and there's an alligator in Humboldt Park. Let's go see Crawl.
Nice.
I'm excited about it, I got to tell you. Yeah. I was excited about it before.
Before all this gator
before Chance the Snapper showed up. So, all right, what do we got next for Fly?
All right, next up, it's the Fly genre of all. A little disco today.
Yeah.
This one goes out to everybody who 40 years ago went to Comiskey Park for a little demolition.
Like me. Like me, I was there. That was today. That's right.
Today's
the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, so what better way to celebrate than with a little love and kisses? Thank God it's Friday. Coming to us from Maria. Here we go.
Thank God it's Friday.
It's a fun song. Movie was terrible.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, my God, what a terrible... Great soundtrack, because if I'm not mistaken, Last Dance is in that.
Mm-hmm.
By the,
Donna
the,
Summer.
The wonderful Donna Summer. But no. Terrible movie. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe it's been 40 years. As soon as all hell broke loose, we got out of Dodge at Comiskey. We were like, let's get out of here. So, all right, let's do one more before we call it a show and have a weekend.
For sure. All right, this last one here is Loose Ends Hanging on a String. It's coming to us from the 773, closing out Fly Jams Friday.
Got it.
I waited on so long for you to come to me. What did I do wrong?
That's Fly, man. That's very Fly.
Listen to those 808 drums.
Nice job. All right, so Fly Jams Friday. We'll do it again next Friday. And thank you, everybody, for participating. And there you go. We're going to take a break here. And Tom is taking off for Michigan. He won't be here on Monday morning. Ben will be filling in. So our good buddy Ben will be filling in. And we'll have all of our regular Monday features, My Dad Tells You a Joke, and the Monday Morning Movie Reviews.